Blog Talk Radio.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Are we on? This is John Madden, and I'm standing here in the locker room of the Cincinnati Bengals. Somebody has to win, and somebody has to lose. And on this Super Bowl Sunday, it was the Bengals who came up short. And they're taking a loss pretty hard. Tough game, tough loss, but the fight was fair. And it was
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me, man? Did you see that out-of-bounds call at the ref? What? Man, that thing was a big payoff, man. I want the country to know. It was a big damn payoff.
Archie, that's a pretty strong accusation.
There ain't no damn accusation, man. It's the mob. It's the mob. The whole other team is run by the mob. That Francisco dude, he's in the mob, man. I'm telling you, man. I buy my pills and stuff from him, man. And he got Jimmy Hoffa. I'm serious. The dude got Jimmy Hoffa buried in his driveway, man. In his car driveway. I don't want the world to know this, man. I'm done.
That's the last kickoff he'll ever fumble.
He won the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, when they handed it to him, he dropped it. I'm telling you, the guy's a bum. I'm glad he killed himself.
You know, I got a feeling Pete Johnson is going to slit his wrists.
Maybe we should go up to Phyllis George, who's probably talking to someone about something. Huh? She's not ready? Here's a sad little guy, the place kicker, Anton Bogushevsky-Konovsky. Anton, get up here, Anton. There seemed to be an iron curtain between you and the goalpost today.
It's not my fault. It's not my fault. I am kick with my foot, and is not always not good because ball is going here sometimes, ball is going there sometimes. I am used to kicking with round ball with white and black spots on it. This ball is different. But I love here in this country. My country, much trouble, much danger. I love America. I want to stay here. I love it here.
The little ball hump. He's got no green card. He's got no paper. Come on. Come back to where you came from. Who's that?
Lenny Johnstone.
Good.
Bengals coach Forrest Gray. Now, it's been a long season, and nobody expected you guys to get this far, least of all me.
John, these boys may have lost, but they in no way disgraced themselves. They disgraced me. They humiliated me. John, you know what it's like to get that close and blow it?
Yeah.
Of course you do. I forgot.
Hey, I'm not apologizing for my record. Listen, there's a lot of reasons.
Yeah, always reasons. You mean excuses. There's always excuses. Sure. The crowd's too noisy. The field's too hard. The light hurts their eyes. Come on, John. They choked. In front of 100 million people, they choked. And they're going to live with the stench of defeat in their nostrils for the next 6 months. Bunch of gutless wonders. Especially Kenny Anderson.
Kenny, you had a tough day today.
Well, John, you know, I've always been a committed Christian and felt that God had a game plan, but not anymore. If there was a God, he would have meant for Cincinnati to win today. If there was a God, he wouldn't have let him call intentional grounding on me in the fourth quarter. Now I will worship Satan.
Hey, Kenny.
Kenny, no hard feelings.
You son of a...
This is John Madden from the Silver Dome in Detroit. Take it, New York. There's we see the buckets. Now there's a third bucket this week. I think what happened, there's always been like a mother and father. Like this is a father bucket. This is a mother bucket. And since the last game, they had a baby bucket. So this is the baby bucket. So they got three now. There have always been two. One's going to go to Parcells.
One's going to go to another assistant, and one will go to a player later in the game.
I guess that clears up the question as to whether they're married or not.
Well, yeah, well, they got married. Yeah, they got married in that baby bottle.
That's Ruth's son over the right side and out of bounds by Steve Wilson. That's the bucket.
I mean, the bucket, you know, that's how big it is. I mean, third year in the league, and then you ask questions like, is it married? Yeah, bucket's married. Bucket, you got a family bucket? Yeah, got a baby bucket. And then brought the ice because we're in California. Family.
Heavy ice.
See, the baby can't sit up there with the mom and dad, though.
5:51 left to play. Roussan went out of bounds. First.
Is out of here. Joe Morris in motion. Got a man, Bobby Johnson, is knocked down at the last second. Somebody threw a shoe. There's a pigeon on the field. How did he get in there?
Well, he wanted to get down here. He couldn't get a seat. He tried to get up above, and there was no place. The only place there was only that he could land is right there.
He was in the middle of the action. I thought the shoe came off.
I'll tell you, there's the throw. Johnson really has some feet. And there's the pigeon was right there where Johnson was running. I think there were two pigeons there. Johnson's trying to run a post pattern, and the pigeon's getting away.
And they're still there.
That's just, you know, the old thing. You can run down to the pigeon and turn left.
We got this game won.
Yeah, you guys are buying a light beer from Miller.
Yeah. Slice Philly.
One out to go. Yeah, what can he do to us now?
Hey, I'll keep the change.
It's Rodney!
Oh. Any finishers left?
Here I am.
Come on, Lee!
Light beer from Miller. Everything you always wanted in a beer and left.
Hey, wait a minute. This game isn't over yet. I caught that ball.
With the players.
Come on, live direct from hell.
But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
And that's my cue to start the show. Welcome to another show, the Hard Rockin' Sports Show, live from high atop Hard Rockin' Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are your 3-hour weekly get-together where we bring you all the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and across the wide world of sports. And from Mr. Moose and myself, Happy New Year to everybody. That's right, Mr. Moose and I are celebrating Happy New Year with you guys each week right here on the Hard Rockin' Sports Show, and we're glad you guys are here with us for our eighth year-end review show. That's right, we'll talk about all the biggest news stories from sports and music. Of course, we'll get into a little social commentary, I'm sure, but guys, we're ringing in the new year. 2022 is a couple of days away. And actually probably less than that, but we're glad to be here this week with you guys. I hope you guys had a great Christmas. It was an interesting and a little depressing one for me. For the first time in 50-something years, I did not get to spend Christmas with my parents and my children and my family. My wife was sick. We're not sure at this moment if she actually had or didn't have, but as of today, she's officially cleared of COVID. So but we had to spend the weekend by ourselves. We made the best of it. I tested negative the whole time, but I did not want to be carrying anything around to my wonderful family, although my young son, Christopher, has COVID now. So what are you going to do? It is what it is. It's basically the common cold. So get out there, enjoy your life. But I hope you guys had a great Christmas. I got some neat stuff. I got a Brian Bosworth jersey. I got a Mr. Moose set of coasters here, one of my favorite things. It's on my desk right here. And I got some really cool gifts this year, and I got just set up my Xbox. Just got an Xbox. So we'll be playing some video games later on. So hope you guys have had a great air here for a second. Hold on. Sorry. Back. Okay. So I hope you guys have had a good day. Hey, Dig. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Dig. Sorry to hear that, man. It sucks. Happy New Year to you and Nanette and the whole family. You know, listen, guys, lots to talk about. Big thing for us for the show. I thought the show was going to be the passing of the legendary John Madden. It's going to be the passing of the legendary John Madden, who passed away this week unexpectedly. And I don't think I ever saw if they announced how he passed. Was it a heart attack, natural causes? Who knows? They'll probably blame it on COVID. We got a lot to talk about tonight. We'll bring you up to speed on all the year-end stuff. We'll touch base on everything. And, again, it's the end of the year. Another one passes by, and they go way too quick. But let me get the show kicked off. There's no better way to do that than bring my friend on, my partner in crime of 40 years, the backbone of the Hard Rock and Sports Show, definitely the sexiest man on his side of the screen. And it's the beard. I know it's the beard and the new hair care products from our good friends at Hemp Wizard Beard Care Co., Mike and Joe. He's, of course, Jeff Tolwinski. Jeff.
What's going on with your connection, man?
I don't know. It's a little crazy. Am I okay right now?
Now I can hear you. Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Got thrown off.
Yeah.
Hey guys, Pete, I hope everyone on your end is all right, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's me and Mr. Moose celebrating tonight with you, Jeff.
Would you put a face on him?
No, it's a little card that comes with it.
I was unaware that the card was even there.
Yes, the card is there. So you got a little Mr. Moose on my desk.
How long I had that in my house? I didn't even know what it was.
Well, I know what it is. I'm using it right now. I have a coaster on the desk. But I'm going to be redoing the Hard Rock and Sports Studios, so that'll be part of the motif, as they call it. Jeff, we like to use the word motif here at Hard Rock and Sports.
Okay.
So, Jeff, you've been off for a week. It's been Christmas time. Let me ask you this, the magic question, as we do every week. Jeff, how was your week?
Depressing.
I know, because as much as we look forward to this time of year, the minute it's gone, it's now depressing.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks. I mean, I still have lit up. I got both trees lit and stuff. You know, but it's still the idea that every night is bringing us closer to getting these things out of here.
It's true. I agree with you. I am spending extra time in the Christmas room each evening. Last night we were watching, we're binge watching some new show, which I'm having a hard time getting into. I'm trying because everybody says it's a good show. It's not terrible, but I'm working my way through it. But I watched the Madden documentary a couple of times the last few days after the passing of Big John Madden. And we'll tell some stories. I got a couple of John Madden stories if anybody's interested in hearing them. I did get to meet John Madden very briefly. I worked with him a few times, but only got to talk to him once. I'll tell a couple of John Madden stories, and I played a few clips. Miller Lite commercials, Jeff was there. I have a bunch of them that we'll play as we go along the night. But boy, I tell you, those were amazing back in the late 70s and early 80s.
I just never knew what he was going to say and what he was going to say and when he was going to say it.
Yeah, I think that was the best part of it was it wasn't scripted. You know, if you read the book, I read his book way back in the day, and I kind of perused it this week. He said it was just one of those things where they let the game tell the story, and that's the difference. It's almost like these guys today try to make the game fit into a narrative that they have in their head, you know. And those guys let the game happen. And I watched a whole bunch of Madden and Summerall things this week. So it's a big deal. I mean, you know, we'll get more into it, but John Madden had three careers, and if you look at each one of them, it's amazing.
He had the NFL coaching career.
And
NFL announcing career. And what was the third one? The video game?
The video game. It's, you know, the way you look at it, his name is immortalized in probably one of the best-selling, if not the best-selling video game, but maybe the most well-known video game of all time.
Yeah, you can't really say much about it. But I will say this much about the sports game. I kind of gave up on gaming at PS3.
Okay.
So I never went really beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I will say is I used to play the hockey game all the time.
Okay.
I had the hockey game. I got it for, man, shit, about 10 years straight. I bought the hockey game.
Mm-hmm.
It was always the one move that you would discover And once you discovered that, that was it. It didn't matter what level you played that those games on. You were untouchable. Nobody was going to beat you. Nobody was going to stop you or nothing.
Yeah.
And you could give up 80 points, but you were scoring 81. So it didn't matter. Defense was something that, you know.
It didn't exist.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah.
You know? It's all about offense anyway.
Well, I haven't had a game system in quite a while. It's got to be at least 5 years or better. And even when I did, I probably didn't play very much the last 10 years. But my son Tommy got the brand new, PlayStation. The brand new one's like $850 for Christmas.
PS5.
Yeah. So he gave me his Xbox. So he just left my house about a half hour ago. We installed it, and I have a whole bunch of Madden games and hockey games and all this stuff. So,
that's cool.
You know, I don't know how much time I'll have to actually play. I really don't have a lot between the two shows, you know, playing a little music and my job and family and everything else. It's not a lot of time, but I did promise myself that I'll make a little time once a week, you know, even if it's for one game, and have a little fun with it. So.
Hey, remember one thing.
Go ahead.
Okay. Somewhere over the course of the night, speaking of little time and not having time.
Yep.
I have a list here.
Yes, I know you do.
People whose time has run out.
Yes.
Make some time for the video game.
No, we'll get to that. We'll do the dead. We call it the dead roll here. Jeff, we'll read the list of people who passed in sports and music. We have some background music. Hey, Patrick, happy new year to you. I have the music queued up. I do. We'll do that sometime tonight. We'll talk about John Madden. We're going to have a real deep dive into the New York Football Giants. We're going to talk a little Jets. We'll do a little NFL. We got some sports news. We'll talk about the big topics of the year in social and political, a little bit of music and sports news. We'll go who won what this year. And we'll just generally have a good conversation over what's gone on this year. And overall, I would say this was one of those years that wasn't terrible, but wasn't great. How would you characterize 2021 in the Jeff Kowinski world?
Just fucked up, man. It really was fucked up.
Yeah.
Like 2020, just an extension of 2020. And
yeah.
It certainly seems as though that 2022 is going to start off right where 2021 left off. I did hear something today that possibly could be promising.
Which is what?
Well, it depends on how you're looking at it, but there's two things, actually.
Okay.
One, they said that the Omicron variant
is
liable to hang out with us for about another month.
Yeah, I heard that where it started in Africa, it's already nosedived.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I had heard that if we're lucky, that this variant, Omicron, will overtake Delta and the original COVID.
Oh, really?
As the primary variants and knock them two out of the box.
Interesting.
Because while this one seems to be, and I'm no math wizard, please. Delta was 70 times more contagious than regular COVID. And then here comes Omicron, which is now 70 times more contagious than Delta, meaning that it's 140 times more contagious than it originally was.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see and hope that that's the case and that this just turns into a little cold for the weekend or something.
Well, that's what it seems like it's headed to being, Jeff. And I think what you're seeing is...
Every time something happens, we end up, the doctor comes and sticks his finger up your ass.
No, I get it, but I think what you're seeing is everywhere around us now, the sports leagues, I mean, NFL basically is saying this, if you're vaccinated and asymptomatic, you know, essentially you could go play football. You know, the NFL has got it here. The NFL has reduced the quarantine time for players who will test positive for COVID.
Like,
and are asymptomatic, including vaccinated players, to 5 days from 10. So, you know, you're already starting to see it in the pro leagues. I think you're starting to see that almost in general life. I'm curious. We got a day and a half now, or less than one more full day of that moron in New York City, your boss. And then I'm curious to see what Eric Adams does when he comes in. Will he lift some of these mandates?
No.
I think he will. I think you'll be surprised. I think we're all going to be surprised. But
you're going to be surprised. Bro. Well, it's going to be an extension of Billy.
I hope not. I'm hoping that the child is out of the room and the parents are going to take over again and run the city the right way. We'll see. we'll see. I saw a thing today. The top three states for people leaving New York. Good job, Patrick. With California, New York, and Illinois, three blue states where people were leaving in droves. Hundreds of thousands of people moved away. And the three states that had the most people moving into them were Texas. Hi, Sharon.
She tried to slip past.
She did. She's quick, man. She's gotten quick. Texas, Florida, and another red state.
Tennessee?
Yes. Good job by you. So people are running out of these liberal pinko commie states, and they're moving to places where you can live free and live amongst the humans, not like with Billy DeBozo, your man.
Yeah. You say that.
Yep.
Okay, but yet COVID is still there.
Sure.
It's the same bullshit elsewhere. There's no...
No, you're wrong. See, that's where you're wrong. They don't have a lot of these mandates. They don't force you to go to if you have a company that you have to be, have to have it. Police officers in Florida don't have to have the vaccine. They're welcome to get it.
When they want it, they're going to federally mandate it. You
are. Well, again, what I'm saying is, no, see, that is the problem. The feds can't mandate it. That's the thing. The states can mandate it. The feds can't mandate it.
There hasn't been a pandemic in over 100 years.
Nah, he's already lost a bunch of battles in court. The Supreme Courts, different circuits have all come up and said there's only been one so far that's even given them a chance. But most of them are going through saying you can't. It's against the law. It's against the Bill of Rights. You can't.
And it doesn't matter because it happened to us anyway.
So, well, again, that's because we live in a pinko commie state. That's why. That's the only reason why. Because the state has mandated it. That's why. Or the city has mandated it. I shouldn't say the state.
Yeah. I don't know what a fucking mayor has the power to do that, man. There's a problem.
He does only because the health he got the health commissioner to say it was an emergency, and the health commissioner giving an emergency goes above and beyond certain things. That's a whole funky thing that he was able to pull it off because the health commissioner of the city of New York called it an emergency. So, but again, we'll talk about we're going to get to more of this. Obviously, COVID is going to be the big topic because it affected everything, Jeff. Sports, music, regular everyday life, all that good stuff was all affected because of the COVID variant and all the Omicron and Delta and whatever. So, but our job here is to kind of get past all that. We're going to spend a lot of time on the Giants and John Madden. Jeff's going to read off the dead roll in a little bit. But let's get my dad on. Let's see what he's got to say. Maybe he's got some words of wisdom for us to close out the year. And kick this show off the right way, Jeff. That's my dad. He's checking in right now. What's up, Pop?
What's up, guys? I hear you. It's good. You sound good.
Thank you.
I was just thinking of Madden, and
uh-huh.
It reminds me. Reminds me a lot of the Christmas. What do you call Rudolph, where they went to the land of misfit toys.
Yes.
Well, that's what he did with a lot of the Oakland players that he played for.
Yes.
Nobody else wanted them. And he took them, and him and Al Davis, and they put some good teams together.
Yeah. Well, if you look at his career, he was a hell of a coach. I mean, I kind of remember as a coach. I mean, I remember his last few years, but it wasn't, you didn't see a lot of the Raiders, here in New York every week. But he was 103-32. And seven, won a Super Bowl. He was in 10 years, guys. He was in seven AFC championship games.
Yep.
So, you're right. That amazing career. But you're right. It was the land of misfit players because the Matuzaks of the world and all of those guys who did the
outlier.
Yeah.
He had some strange people playing for him, but he knew what he was doing. They all respect him. And, I was watching the TV today, And they were talking about he was one of the first coaches where you, which you would know more than anybody, that he didn't want to take, they used to write scripts and tell you what to say about the game. He wanted it that he could walk around and talk to the players. He wanted to see what they felt. He was one of the first sports announcers to do that, which I think is very, you know, innovative.
Oh, let me tell you something. You know, back then, I mean, he was completely different than anything and everybody else. I mean, I mean, the Kurt Gowdys and the Lindsey Nelsons of the world, they were great announcers, and even the guys who were in the booth with them. But he just brought a whole new dimension to the game of football. That it's funny. I don't think I realized at the time, but he was a coach. He was teaching us the game at the time, and he made it fun.
Right, I agree with you. 100%.
Yeah.
What I always thought of when I heard Madden, it was like sitting next to somebody at a football game, and he wouldn't talk to you like you were a student. He talked to you like he was his friend, and he would tell you what was going on, but he never made it that you didn't know what you were talking about.
Yeah.
I just thought he was a very good coach, and I remember when the Giants got rid of a few of their coaches, they were trying to get a hold of Madden, and he didn't want anything to do with it.
No, I mean, he had a great life at that point. I mean, he didn't want he was 42 and had ulcers, and he hated flying and all that stuff. And, you know, that guy, let me tell you something. I got to be around him a few times and around a lot of people who worked with him, and the guy had a great life. He was traveling around the country in a bus, eating places, and just, you know, going to football games and just living the football life without the ulcers, Jeff, without the, you know, the looking over your shoulder to see if you're getting fired every week to week.
I'm surprised he never got another job coaching after the Raiders.
Yeah, I think he was done. I think he was just done.
Evidently he was done. He never did it again.
Yeah, it was just done. But, yeah, it was, you know, Dad, did you watch the documentary?
No, I never really watched it on him. And I tell you the truth, I was surprised because I didn't know he was sick. And if
I don't think he was. I mean, from what I saw, it was he died unexpectedly. But, you know, if you check, like, NFL Network, just about every night they play it, it's called the All Madden. And it's just a documentary that they did. And it's interesting to watch because he's sitting there watching it along with you. And he's commenting on it. And it's just, you know, a little bit of his of each part of his career. And all these players come out and talk about him. You get a chance. It's the All Madden. It's on NFL Network. Well, what I was saying was last week on the Sunday show, I had watched it Saturday night, and I told Jeff, and this is before he died, I said, you know, it was really good, but it was almost like watching an obituary. You know, like he was sitting there watching his obituary because he was talking about his kids, his family, you know, touched on all parts of his life. And you could see, you know, he's 85 years old. I mean, he still looked like, you know, he's a big guy, but his voice was different. And, you know, I said it was like, you know, it was like the guy got the chance to be part of his obit, not knowing that a few days later he was going to be gone. And, you know, it's really, again, I didn't hear that he was sick. He didn't look sick in the thing, but it was quite a testament to the guy and an amazing legacy. And, you know, I'll ask you both. I think that at some point the NFL is going to have to find some sort of trophy or award or something to name after him.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not telling you he's Vince Lombardi, but, you know, if you look at it, you know, he had more of an impact on the game of football for a length of time. I mean, don't forget, 10 years. I mean, Lombardi was only the coach of the Packers for what, 10, 12 years? You know, and then Madden.
I agree with you 100%. And I think the AFC Championship should be named the Madden. The Madden Trophy.
Yeah, I think, you know, right now, I think the AFC one's named after the guy who owned the
Kansas Chiefs. City.
Yes. And then the NFC one is named after George Halas. So I don't see it. But they're going to have to come up with something. The MVP award, they're going to have to come up with something that they pay tribute to Madden with each year. I don't know what that will be, how they'll do it, whether it's maybe it's the Super Bowl MVP trophy. I don't know, but there's going to have to be something to be done, because I think he had that. You know, Jeff, if you look at it and you think about, you know, people, he had a 10-year run as a coach, as a head coach. He was a coach before that. And then 20-something years, more 30-something years as a broadcaster, as the lead broadcaster in all of football. And then his video game has turned people, has a whole generation of young kids who don't know who John Madden is, into football fans.
Sure, without a doubt, man. And they still don't know who he is, some of them. But yet they get their game every year.
Yeah. You know, Pop, I bet you there's a lot of kids out there who had no idea John Madden coached the Oakland Raiders in the 70s and won the 77 Super Bowl, or you know, or that John Madden was the greatest and was the best football announcer for 20 something 30 years, you know what I mean?
I agree, like I said he was one of the few. I hate watching football games because they have to dissect everything, you know, I don't want to hear that. Most people are not interested, I would think, in all of that. But when he talked to you again, it was like sitting in a ballpark, watching a game, and he was just explaining to you what was, like you were blind, and he was telling you what was going on. He wasn't teaching you out of ignorance. He was enjoying it.
Yeah, here's the difference, I think, between today's guys. These guys today, or the last 20 years, these guys give you their nothing but their opinion of what you're watching. You know, you're watching what they want you to watch. They're not watching the game. Where Madden was watching the game with you, and he was explaining why it was happening. You know, he was almost like not to go sit in a bar with the coach, and he was sitting there going, okay, this is why this play worked. This is why this didn't work. You know, it wasn't his opinion. He was giving you fact, but he wasn't jamming down your throat that he was the most knowledgeable guy in the room. He made it fun. These guys today, I try not to listen to them. I tell you the truth, I can barely listen to what they say because it's just their opinion, and it's all about they're the smartest guy in the room. And
I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
I understand. Yeah, I agree with both of you guys. I think I do want to tell you, Jeff, you and your family, for my family, a happy new year to all of you. And I hope you get a better year than you had this time. And, Tommy, I'll see you tomorrow night.
I'll see you tomorrow night.
Guys, take care. Jeff, say hello to your family.
You got it, Pop. Thank you. That's my dad. He gets to check in with us every week, and I'm thankful for it. You know, it's one of those things, Jeff, that I am very thankful for, that, A, that you and I still do the show together, that we both still look forward to getting on Thursday nights. I'll do a lot of stuff like this tonight because I am thankful for it. But one of the things that, you know, I enjoy about it is that my dad loves to do this. He loves to come on for his 5 minutes and talk and give us his opinion and listen to our opinion. And I'm thankful that he's still around and I can do that with him and you and still have some fun every week.
I hear you.
All right, so where do you want to go? You want to go to Giants? You want to stay on Madden for a while? I got some Madden stories. Hey, Anthony.
Let's do some Giants. I don't want to get you off too easy. Maybe what we can do is load on the Giants, and then tomorrow, the new year is on Saturday. It starts anew. We get rid of Gettleman.
Well, yeah, I don't think you're going to get rid of Gettleman yet for the new year. He's going to be Giant GM for another few weeks, and then he'll be retiring, as they say. And Anthony, much love to you, Anthony, and your family, and Happy New Year to your brother. And thanks for popping up. But we can do that. We'll come back to Madden. I got a few Madden stories on being on his bus, and I'll say this one. I always give this one. This is my favorite. The first time I ever played Madden on a real gaming system, like a real system, was with John Madden.
Nice.
So just I don't understand your thing, your comment, Jeff.
Pretty much exactly what it says, bro.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But yeah, so I'm in New Orleans, working for Fox, doing the Super Bowl, and one of our duties every night. There's a whole bunch of us who are kind of peons, runners, was to hang around, and if they wanted game films or they wanted something to eat or something to drink or whatever, we were to run and get it. And you'd look over at the table. There was Howie Long and Terry Bradshaw and James Brown, John Madden, Pat Summerall, all hanging at the table, amongst a bunch of others. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know I said that. Okay, sorry. But anyway, I said brother. I meant him as my brother.
Anyway,
so yeah. So anyway, we're sitting there, and at the end of this big, huge room, think of like a Knights of Columbus type of room, a big conference room in a hotel, and they're all at this big, huge table, and a good part of the night they were talking about Seinfeld and all this other shit, and then they were talking about the game, and some players would come in, and we couldn't talk to anybody, we were peons. But at the end of the room, there was a couch with a couple of chairs. And a big TV I don't know what system it was. It must have been PlayStation at the time. And anyway, they had the brand new Madden. It would have been like Madden 97 or 98. And so we used to go down there, a bunch of us sit there, and we play little tournaments. So the first night, we were down there, and my turn comes up, and I'm playing this guy in this short version game. And I look up to my right, and sitting between us is John Madden. And I look up, and he goes, "Hey, guys, what do you think of the game? What are you going to say? It sucks. It's a great game. It's a great game, Mr. Madden. Thank you." Shakes his head, smoking a cigar, turns around, walks away. That was it. But the first time I got to play the real version, we're sitting next to John Madden for 5 seconds. So,
well, it seemed like you were playing John Madden.
No. Oh. I was not playing John Madden, no. But what I say was with, it was standing right there, playing, looking at his face on the TV and him next to me. But listen, I got to meet the guy a couple times, never got to speak to him other than that one second. But, I got to work at Fox and do a lot of stuff. I was on his bus. His driver, Dave, gave us a tour. Got some pictures of the inner workings of the Madden Cruiser, which was fun. State of the art, and a lot of fun stuff there. We'll get back to the Madden stuff later. Again, Jeff and Tom here bringing in the new year. Hope you guys have had a lot of people got a lot of plans out there, Jeff. I'm going to go out to dinner with my parents tomorrow night about 5 o'clock for dinner, and then I'll be returning home.
Good.
What are you doing?
I don't know.
No?
It's kind of bad. We may have people over. We don't know yet. It depends on if they test, how they test. They don't want to come over if they're positive.
Gotcha.
So we'll see what happens. Hey, listen, hopefully this is the last of it.
Nah,
I don't have to deal with this shit no more.
Doesn't seem like it, but we'll see if Screw Fauci is around next year. But so let's get to the Giants. So I would tell you last week was probably the first time in a very long time that I shut off a Giant game, win or lose, early. But I was disgusted by what I saw. I was disgusted. Not, and
man.
Go ahead.
You are witnessing. I'm talking to the people.
Go ahead.
You are witnessing the man coming to the light.
No, listen. I still love my Giants. I will watch the games this weekend. No, I'm not coming to your light. There's no chance in the world I'm coming to your light. But I was disgusted by what I saw. It was the lack it seemed like there wasn't an ounce of talent on the field. I watched guys not hustling. I was disgusted by what I saw. I was. I'll be the first one to admit. And at that moment, they could have dropped a bomb in their locker room and wiped everybody out and started from new. I wouldn't have cared at that moment.
Tommy,
I'm not coming to your light, so please. The defense, I'll give the guys credit. They played well for a little while. But there was just too many mistakes. But the offense was putrid. Whether it was Fromm, who I wanted them to start, and he looked like he never played football ever in his life. I mean, he threw passes that were nowhere near a player. If the route was 7 yards, he threw it 3. If the route was 20 yards, he threw it 5.
I like what Patrick is saying, because I've been saying this all along.
Well, here's the thing. Here's a couple ways to look at that. And I don't disagree with Patrick. So you have two choices. So, Jeff, I know you're of the ilk. You're of the mindset. Don't bring in a new GM and kind of force him to keep Judge and Jones.
Well, you know why I say that?
Go ahead.
I say that because, one, the blame in this situation should be distributed, okay? Not concentrated.
100%.
And I feel as though that if you do that, if you keep Judge and you keep Jones, but yet you get rid of Gettleman, you're saying that Dave Gettleman was involved for all of this. Joe Judge had nothing at all to do with it. Daniel Jones had nothing at all to do with it. And you're going to leave them two okay, and then you're going to hire a general manager that says that he wants to work with Joe Judge and Daniel Jones. So now if this goes bad the following year, and let's call it year three.
Year three for Judge and year four for Jones.
Let's go by the code. Let's call it year three.
Okay.
If year three doesn't go good,
it
can't be a year four. And now already you're putting the general manager in his second year, and now he's starting from scratch. Okay? I just don't see the point of keeping Joe Judge unless the next general manager is like, no, this guy has good vision. I want to keep him. I like what he's going to say. And I don't think that's going to happen. I think that the Giants ownership and whoever's in charge don't want to go on record as saying that they're the ones that made the mistake and that they're going to keep everybody in place for a year. And just Gettleman was the easiest one to get rid of and point fingers at. And I think that next year at this time, you're going to be sitting in the same position. I really do.
Well, I think no matter what you do right now, next year is going to be a fire sale. Next year is going to be just a shit show because the cap is screwed. Okay, you got stuck with a bunch of players now who may be all, Shepard's hurt now. He's got a couple years left on his contract. Galladay was a bust so far this year. You're stuck with a whole bunch of players and a bad salary cap. So to me, if you're the next GM, whoever it is, you're saying, I'm going to cut my losses. I'm going to cut a bunch of these players, bring in a bunch of one-year guys. I'm going to suffer for a year, and then I'm going to fix my salary cap and then move forward. So,
all right, so now you see the way that you're talking to me right now, you're explaining to me, is just that you're going into year three, definitely year two, possibly year three of your new general manager. Next year you're admitting already that he's pretty much got a wash on his hands.
Absolutely. There's no choice.
So now the following year, do you keep Joe Judge for this debacle?
Here's the thing. You whoever it is, when that guy walks in the door, Let's say we don't go inside the organization, and I happen to think there's a good chance that Kevin Abrams might get the job. But let's say Kevin Abrams doesn't. They bring in an outside guy who everybody thinks is the right guy. You know, if he comes in year one and says that Joe Judge is my guy, then to me, they're married for 3 years. Because what you can't have happen is you bring him in, and then he goes, oh, after year one, this is not my guy. I want to start all over. Now it's a fire sale. That is a shitstorm. So if Joe Judge is your guy, if you're John Mara,
You just said that the next following year is going to be a fire sale.
I think next year, no matter what you do, no matter who your coach is, no matter who your general manager is, next year is a shit show. But, I mean, unless you find, unless Nick Gates and Shane Lemieux come back next year, and go, along with Thomas, who's been really good this year, and Hernandez. They fixed the offensive line from within. You know, those guys fixed the offensive line. And then those other guys, Galladay, Tony, Slayton, they all, mature and they play well. You're not going to take this team apart and bring in new free agents that are going to do. Now, the Giants have two number one picks. I think next year for the Giants, unless there's a rebirth of some of these players, it's going to be a shitstorm, and I think the new general manager is almost going to get a pass for year one. But if he stays, to me, his 3 years or 4 years that he gets to build is almost got to be that Joe Judge is his guy, because you can't say, yes, I'm taking the job and he's my guy, and then after the first year go, all right, he's out, we're going to start all over again. It doesn't work. If he comes in, either him and Judge are tied at the hip, or get rid of Judge now and go for a new coach. There are two choices in the matter.
You just let the New York Jets leapfrog you. And now they're going to be light years ahead of you in 2 years as far as rebuilding.
It might be. It might be. But listen, you say that. I'm not sold on Zach Wilson yet. I'm not close, and I don't know enough. I haven't seen enough yet, one way or the other, to tell you that Robert Saleh is a good head coach. They could be a bust next year.
By the time the people find out, one way or another, yeah, what's going on with these guys, they're going to be into year three. Okay? You've got right now a quarterback on going into year four, a coach going into year three,
mm-hmm,
and a general manager that's going to be starting his first year.
But let's say this, though. You had all these receivers. I guarantee you his Daniel Jones' receiving core, all those main guys, Ingram, Galladay, Slayton, Tony, what's his name, Shepard, I bet you they didn't play six games together all year as a unit. So and no offensive line. So what are we really judging Daniel Jones or Joe Judge with? And don't forget, Jason Garrett was John Mara's hire, not Joe Judge. John Mara recommended Jason Garrett. So to me, a lot of this is on that.
Joe Judge kept them and then kept them sure for a second year. And as far as everything that you're saying, I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But keep in mind, this is the New York Giants, mm-hmm, bro. They can't stay bad forever.
Oh, I agree with that.
Okay? Sooner or later, they're just going to start wiping the slate clean. You can't turn around and say, well, you can't do this. Well, you can't do that. Well, if they ain't performing and they ain't winning, they're not going to keep somebody in there and just be like, okay, he was there for 3 years. We didn't do nothing because of bad salary cap.
Well, let me ask you this question, Jeff. Is Pete Carroll a good coach in your opinion?
Is he a good coach?
Yes, Pete.
I think he's a good coach. I don't think he's a great coach.
Okay, but he's a good coach. Right. In the last 5 years, the Seattle Seahawks have done nothing. Doesn't mean he's a bad coach. It means whoever's feeding him the players, who's not playing, who's gotten hurt. You know, this Bolt did stuff. He didn't forget how to coach a team. It's just the team around him has not played well. Now, that doesn't mean he gets a bypass on it.
100% right, but you want to know something?
Yeah.
Every year, with the exception of this year, and from what I remember last year, Seattle Seahawks were always mentioned as a Super Bowl contender, a playoff contender, a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah.
Now, we had just a very similar conversation with our friend, okay, about a different team.
Mm-hmm.
Who I couldn't believe some of the things that he, like, he just, you know, when you have that much disdain for somebody.
Oh, John. Yeah. Yeah, I got you.
So what is it that you want? If your team is constantly known as a Super Bowl contender,
mm-hmm,
to me, as a fan of the New York Jets, you really can't say much because every year people are saying this is a team, it's either going to be them or them. They're getting to the Super Bowl. And that's how I look at Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks. Evidently, this year they ain't going to the Super Bowl. But maybe it's time for Pete Carroll to get tossed aside. The guy is in his early 70s.
No, but my point is he didn't forget how to coach, Jeff. It's just sometimes you get plays that aren't any good. I'm just saying is that I'm not telling you that. I'm just saying if you think Joe Judge can coach and he hasn't lost the locker room, which is the one thing the other two guys before him got knocked on, you know, I'm saying is if you bring in a GM and a GM says, yes, I can work with Joe Judge, please don't bring Joe Judge in and bring a general manager in and keep Joe Judge and then fire him after the first year. It doesn't make any sense. It's either he's here for the long haul with the GM and they're gonna I would tell him this, Joe Judge gets fired, you go with him.
Dude, there may be people that say, listen, if you don't fire Joe Judge,
again,
don't worry about it. I ain't coming.
But now if you're, again, so there's my point. If you walk in the door and say, I'll take your job, but Joe Judge has got to go and Mara wants to do it, then I say, fine. I don't know enough about Joe Judge to fight with anybody at this moment. I kind of like the guy. Some people, Louis Pica, our friend Louis, he thinks he's a snake oil salesman. And he's got nothing to say.
If you wasn't too happy with him.
I'm gonna say I understand it. All I'm just saying is if you're the new GM and you're convinced that he can coach you this year, he's got to be your coach for the next 3 years because you can't take the job and then at the end of the first year goes, okay, I figured out he can't coach. He's got to go. Now we're starting all over again. So to me, you're gonna start your
You're gonna be starting you said it earlier. You said it yourself that the year is going to be a shit show next year.
I agree, but you're starting to build it over again this year.
Already, you're going into year two. You got to finish year two before you can even start doing anything. So you're
I agree.
Getting that next year is going
to. It has to.
Year rebuild also.
But it has to.
That means the next year and the year after.
No, it doesn't mean the year after has to be a bad year. It means next year has to be a bad year because you have no salary cap room. You got too many players that, you know, like Patrick, are always hurt. I'm not telling you that you're forever in a bad spot. I'm saying is that next year, barring a major miracle where, you know, the guys who are hurt this year, like on the offensive line, come back and play great, and all of a sudden they figure it out, and you bring a new offensive coordinator in who puts in a new system, and it all works. Barring that, next year is a shit show. Doesn't mean that the following year, okay, salary cap's fixed.
I thought you meant.
No. No, next year to me is a dumpster fire unless a miracle happens where Galladay plays a full season, you know, the offensive linemen come back. So to me, next year's a wash. Now, at the start of the following season, you got cap room, you're going to get new players, you know, you got your coaching staffs in place for a year, you got your system in place. So to me, if I'm the Giants and I hire a GM, it's got to be with the thought that Joe Judge is our long-term answer. It has to be. Otherwise, get rid of him now.
I think you should get rid of him now.
No, but again, what if the GM thinks he can coach?
I don't think there's any GM that's going to think that.
But why? What
is he? Because look at Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
You yourself have said Bill Belichick has had teams
with
nobody on him.
Yeah.
And look what he's done. Okay. I ain't saying that Joe Judge should have taken the Giants to the Super Bowl in 2 years, but right now. You and Paul, used to make fun of me, and when we had our little group discussion there,
sure.
This, that, and the other thing, and what, they're both looking the same way. And to me, it's worse for the Giants. That's 4-11. That's worse for the Giants than 4-11 for the Jets.
Why?
Why? Because I'll tell you why. Because all the time that you were like, no, this is going to be a playoff team. This is a better team. They're going to be growing. You watch. They're going to be good. Meanwhile, I told you from day one, I was like, Jets are going to suck. And you were like, no.
Well, yeah, but it's easy to be that guy. It's easy to be that guy and go, oh, my team's going to suck. And then if they surprise you, win a few games.
I haven't been wrong yet.
Well, because the Jets suck every year, so it's easy. I'm not disagreeing. I just say that when I look at the team, I have to put my blame right now on Gettleman because he has not fixed the offensive line, regardless. Yeah. He has not. He put in his big free agent. Now, some of his free agents have worked out really well. Blake Martinez was great until he blew out his knee this year. James Bradbury's been really good. You know, a couple bad games this year, but Bradbury was great last year, really good this year. Logan Ryan was really good, not so great this year, but played really well last year. He's had some good ones. He's had some bad ones. I mean, Solder hasn't worked out. Galladay didn't stay on the field this year. You know, some of his draft picks, Andrew Thomas was maligned last year. He played great this year at left tackle. So there's some good and there's some bad. But to me, 4 years in, he hasn't done the job. It's time for Dave Gettleman to go get a new voice in. Now, again, if I'm John Mara and you walk into my office and you're my guy, you're the guy I really want to have, and you say, hey, I'll take this job. I can fix your team, but Joe Judge has got to go, and here's why. Then you got to listen. If the guy walks in the door and says, hey, I like Joe Judge, I think he's my guy, you know, that's fine. But to me, if Joe Judge is his guy, it's got to be for more than 1 year. What I don't like...
There's already rumors going on
that
the Giants have said that they're going to stick with Joe Judge and Daniel Jones. Instead of saying the proper thing to say would have simply been this. Right now, we don't know what's going to go on. We're going to assess... the entire Giants season.
Nobody's made that official announcement, Jeff. That was
where
the rumor. Who knows? Listen, not everything that somebody says out loud is the truth. Now, somebody in the organization could have dropped a ding in a guy's ear. I don't know. At the end of the year, who knows? Again, John Mara, the Giants, have not come out and said, hey, Joe Judge is safe for next year. You know, this is, I think they're waiting for the offseason. They're going to bring in all the GMs that they want. And listen, if they interview five guys and five guys go, hey, I wouldn't take this team if Joe Judge is your coach, then you got to pay attention, right?
If they do that, okay, you're nothing but wasting time. Because if they're going to sit there and interview every general manager candidate that they want to come in, and every candidate turns around and says, oh, well, you know, listen, if Judge was here, wasn't here, I'd say, yes, you're offering me the job, I take it now. And everyone pretty much said the same thing. I can't work with him. I don't see what the allure is about him.
Right. Yeah.
And then this, that, the other thing. So now if you interview a candidate on Monday, Thursday, and Friday, you already wasted 5 days to find out three guys in 5 days all said the same thing, which is we don't want to work with this guy. Now somebody else who could have been the guy for you maybe ends up signing someplace else or says, you know what? I can't wait. I want to try the Giants out, but I can't wait. And I can't because you're the second wave of candidates. So now you end up signing an extension where you want. And they lose out on a guy because of this. I think it's time you got a clean house.
I disagree.
They can't get rid of some of the players. But Galladay, right off the bat, Galladay, the guy misses 7 games last year.
I know, but you can't just jettison contracts, Jeff. I mean, there's bonuses tied to it. You get rid of Galladay, you may be eating his money for 2 years.
I'm not saying to jettison contracts.
Okay.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying the guy last year missed 7 games, almost half the season.
Right.
You should sign him to a fucking big deal. Leonard Williams, who I told you could not sack groceries.
Mm-hmm.
He was fucking at the end of the fucking cashier line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Couldn't pack groceries in a fucking in a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
You go out and sign him to an extension.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The guy's had, 16 sacks in the 2 years. So he went from averaging 11.5 last year, now down to 8. His average is now down to 8. Yes, there's still 2 games in the season, but he ain't getting fucking.
Leonard Williams, listen, I know you tend to rate everything based on sacks, and it's not all about sacks. I watch the guy play every week. That's a good player. Now, do I think they overpaid? Yeah, I think they overpaid for him a little bit, but I'll tell you that Leonard Williams is a good player. You know, he's a hell of a two-way football player.
Worth the money they're paying him, yes or no?
I don't, you know, Jeff, who is? Is Kirk Cousins worth $40 million or whatever?
But
I'm just saying is, that's the, again, yes, I would, no, he's not worth the money. But I'm okay with the Giants spending the money on Leonard Williams. Okay. Leonard Williams has been a really good player.
Right off the bat, you overpaid for Galladay. Okay? You overpaid for Leonard Williams.
Okay.
All right? So now, I don't know what their combined salaries are for the year.
Well, that's why they're in a shit show of salary cap.
So
yeah.
Evidently, you don't seem like you would want either one of these on your future roster.
I would keep Leonard Williams tomorrow. I like Leonard Williams. I think he's a hell of a two-way player. Is he making too much money? Yeah, but that's the position. So I get it. But
you could get a player that does just what he does.
Who can? Again, tell me. That's my point. Is it's not true.
Would you pay what you would you pay $50,000 for a fucking Chevy? Which what a Cadillac costs?
But again, there aren't that many players out there who do what this guy does. He's a hell of a two. He's not Aaron Donald. He's not close to Aaron Donald.
He's not Aaron Donald. I know he's not.
But he. But you know what? He's not a. He's a really, really, really good football player. Do I want to pay him $16 million a year? Of course not. But he's a good football player. I don't fault Dave Gettleman for signing. The guy played well. You know, he had 11 sacks last year. I think he's got 8 this year. Couple games less, maybe winds up. I'm not sure. Hold on, I think I had it up there a second ago. Yes, he does have 5.5 this year. So if he winds up with a couple more, you know,
half the amount of sacks.
But again, But again, it's not all about sacks. He's a, you know, when people talked about Michael Strahan as a player, Michael Strahan was a good was a hell of a player. Played, you know, sacked the quarterback. But Michael Strahan was a hell of a two-way football player. He played the run just as well. And Leonard Williams is a good football player, a really good football player. Again, is he overpaid? Yeah, I would say yes. But, okay, it is what it is. That's a GM situation, and you're gonna overpay to get him. But, the Galladay thing, the Giants needed a receiver. You know, he was the best guy of the lot. Everybody out there said he was the guy. You know, could they have signed Corey Davis? Maybe. Saved a few bucks. but Corey Davis didn't play either. So, you know, those were the two best receivers on the lot.
Think about what you did here. Right, you already had Shepard who misses time every year.
Yep.
Okay. Then you go out, your big free agent signing is Galladay. Everybody's like, oh, this is great. This is good. Then all of a sudden he missed seven games. So you don't pay him that money. What you do is sign him to a one-year deal.
Yeah, you think he's taking – he's not taking a one-year deal.
You can overpay him for a one-year deal.
He's not taking a one-year deal, Jeff. Come on.
Listen, you can overpay him for a one-year deal.
Yeah.
And you could – and these guys talk, and you know that. And you could turn around and say, listen, you show me that you're healthy. You show me this. I'll give you a multi-year deal. I'll make you one of the highest receivers, paid receivers in the league.
I got it, but let's be honest. There's no somebody out there would have gave him a 2 or 3 year deal. There's no way in the world he's taking a 1 year deal to go prove himself to the Giants. You know what I'm saying? I get your point, and to me they should all play year to year. I agree with you.
What is he getting a year?
I'm not sure. I'd have to look it up. I'm not sure.
Do you have any idea about roughly?
I don't. I really don't. I would say it's somewhere probably $11 million a year.
All right, so you're going to tell me that if you turn around and you told this guy $11 million a year, I'd imagine 3 years?
I would bet you got that.
Okay. You're going to tell me that if you told this guy $14 million for 1 year, you had certain incentives, we'll sign you to a multi-year deal. This is a money league.
He got 4 years, $72 million.
Okay, 4 years, $74
million? $72 million. 4 year, $72 million contract, including – $17 million signing bonus, $40 million of it's guaranteed.
It's a lot of money, man.
Yeah,
that's
I'm not.
Top of the year.
That's that's like $17, $18 million a year.
Well,
yeah, it's 18. It's $18 million a year. Yeah, 36, 72, yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Absolutely. Listen, again.
Money and how many games did he miss this year?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up. I don't know. Probably at least 5 or 6 games.
A lot of games.
No, listen. You could go down to, okay, Gettleman, he picked the wrong players, overpaid for them, and that's why he's leaving. Now, so here's the thing, Jeff. We've picked on the fact that Dave Gettleman's picked the wrong players, guys are on the field. So how do I go about now, I'm John Mara, how do I go out and blame Joe Judge if most of his players aren't very good and haven't played? So how do I pin that on Joe Judge and even to a certain extent Daniel Jones? So I'm saying is if I surrounded Joe Judge with top players who played every week and you still didn't win and you made bad decisions, I'm with you. I'm saying is I'm going to give you your argument back to you. If you gave him bad players and players who did not even play did not step on the field for him, he's playing with Jake Fromm and Mike Glennon at quarterback most of the season because Daniel Jones got a neck injury.
Yeah, okay.
He's got no offensive line whatsoever.
Look at Daniel Jones' stats. The guy wasn't throwing the football for touchdowns, that's for certain.
Again, who was Daniel Jones throwing the football to?
It doesn't matter.
Jeff, it does. Of course it does.
You got to find the players, okay? They weren't going in the right direction. They were not trending in the right direction. They weren't doing anything.
But
right.
He hasn't had anybody.
A stretch where you could be like, somebody's afraid of this team. Nobody went to MetLife Stadium.
I'm not telling you wrong, but how is that Daniel Jones' fault if he's got his whole offensive line?
Daniel Jones just sucks, bro.
No, you're wrong on that part. I disagree. Yeah, he does not suck. No.
How many years is he in the league?
Jeff, I can point you to major parts of his seasons where he was really good. He played exceptionally well football. You watch him. The kid's got ability. Now, again.
He's in the league. He's with his team for 3 years.
Yes, this is true.
Every year has ended with some kind of injury on his record. Every year.
Go through me the league and show me the quarterback who plays. Show me the player. I'll just make it quarterbacks. Show me the quarterback in this league who's played every game of every season. Doesn't happen, Jeff. Guys get hurt.
In every fucking game.
Has Aaron Rodgers played every game this year?
That's not a Giants.
But why are you picking on? Why are you saying Daniel Jones? But here's where you lose credibility with me. You say Daniel Jones, he's missed games every year. Everybody misses games.
How many
games did Zach Wilson as a rookie play this year?
This is not about Zach Wilson.
But again, if you're telling me that Daniel Jones,
this is what you and Giant fans do. You deflect everything away.
You're telling me that you think...
I'm bringing up a point.
No, there's no point to it, Jeff. Everybody misses games. Other than Eli Manning, It's not a quarterback who's missed games in the season.
Tom Brady didn't miss any games this year.
I'll have to take a look at it. Okay, he may be the only one. Russell Wilson's missed games. Aaron Rodgers has missed games.
Carson Wentz, who's made of fucking crystal, not even glass.
He's missed games.
Two ankles, missed one game, and hasn't missed anything yet since.
Again, he might not play this week. I'm saying is you can't give me injuries for a football player because everybody misses games.
You have said there's certain injuries. You yourself have said there's certain injuries that are the player's fault.
Absolutely. If you tell me every week you're missing because of a calf.
It's hurt every single season. I'm not saying it's conditioning. I'm saying that the human being himself is soft. Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, Galladay. These are three guys.
Okay.
Every year for Jones, injury. Every year for Barkley, injury. And the last 2 years, Galladay, injury.
Okay. That doesn't mean that Daniel Jones sucks. It just means he
sucks.
I agree with that. I agree the offensive line's bad.
Edelman goes and gets all these guys to try to fix his team, and he gets guys that get injured constantly.
But again, I'm not disagreeing with you that the guys suck. I even agree with you that guys like Galladay and Shepard are soft players. I agree with that. And I think that to a certain extent, I have an issue with Saquon Barkley that, again, another year of that he's not playing, that he's not running. I watch Booker run, and he makes the same runs, the same plays, and he's successful. And I watch Barkley play, and he looks like he's playing scared. I disagree. Yeah, but I disagree on the Daniel Jones thing. I mean, you know, the guy's not out because he's got a quad injury, or the guy's got a neck injury. The doctors say you can't play until it heals. I'm not knocking the kid on it. You know, and again, I've seen enough from Daniel Jones that I think he's a good football player. Will he be a great quarterback? I don't know. Do I want Russell Wilson? How much time has Russell Wilson missed the last few years? Quite a bit. Do I want to give up three number one picks to bring in 34-year-old Russell Wilson, who, you know, I'm listening to guys this week on The Fan, and they go, Russell Wilson's going to make his offensive line better. Make your offensive line better by being on your team. And I went, wait a second. The guy's been hit more than any quarterback in the league the last 5 years. In fact, he wants out of Seattle because of it. How's he making his offensive line better? He's not.
First of all, I don't understand how any quarterback could make any offensive line look better.
I agree with you on that part. Yes, I agree.
Second, Russell Wilson at 34 years old is just a little bit too old to have him
with a lot of with a lot of war wounds on him.
Okay, but he's to his age. But then again, look at Brady, how old he is. Look at Rodgers, who earlier today or yesterday finally alluded to the fact that he might retire.
Yes.
Might. Retirement is on the table.
I don't think he's going to retire.
But a lot of people don't realize he's been playing for, what, 17, 18 years?
Absolutely.
All right, he's been playing for a long time, too.
Yeah.
But as far as Russell Wilson goes,
if
he was offered to the Jets, I wouldn't want him. I wouldn't take him. I'm not saying that Zach Wilson is the answer, but I definitely would not want Russell Wilson. Zach Wilson is not the answer. I wouldn't want Russell Wilson. Not now, because these teams need too much to take a quarterback such as him. They need too much work. So what are you going to do? You're going to have a big name. You're already going to fill the seats because you're a New York team.
Yes. Yeah, either way.
You don't need a name.
No. Here's the thing. It's not, you know, if you told me I can have Russell Wilson for next to nothing, I take him. He's still a solid quarterback. he may be an upgrade on the position for a couple of years, and you find your future quarterback to play behind him for a couple. The problem I have is to get him, you're going to give up three number one picks. If I'm giving up three number one picks and I got no salary cap for 2 years, how am I fixing my team and getting him anybody around him?
You ain't doing anything. You're not doing Russell Wilson any favors.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. And I also don't think you're doing your own team. To me, the Giants are going to have two early picks. You could take that and trade it.
That's propaganda to get the Giants fans to start bitching and to get Jones out of there. That's all that is.
I don't think so. I think it's more Russell Wilson propaganda to either get himself to a team he wants to play for. Now, he said there's three teams he'd play for. One of them is the Giants. I can't imagine it. You're leaving Seattle, you wanted out of Seattle because you were getting to taking a beating. Now you want to go to New York and take a beating. Plus, how the Giants even going to take him with his salary? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Oh, you know what? Let me ask you this. Say you're the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Right? So let's say you're the general manager of the Seahawks.
Yep.
And you're listening to this guy. Well, I'll go to the New York Giants.
Yeah.
You know what? If I was him, if I was the Seattle Seahawks general manager, I would do whatever I got to do to make that happen. Because you want to go to the Giants? Okay. No problem. We'll get you to the Giants. Because they're going to be an awful team again this year.
Absolutely.
So you want to go there? You could stay here and play on this awful team. With you, we could build around for the next couple of years. Now we're going to send you over there with no stop. No problem. We'll get you there.
Right. Yeah, right. Makes sense. But don't
Just like you used to say about Odell Beckham, I'll send him to Jacksonville. I'll send him here. I would do the same thing if I was the Seattle Seahawks.
But again, you want to get it. But the problem is if you're him and you're sending away Russell Wilson, who's a known commodity, you got to come back with a couple number one picks at the very least.
Well, of course. Of course. I understand that.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that you're going to hold the New York Giants for ransom or some other shitty team that he wants to go to.
Correct.
What? I could get three fucking number ones from Pittsburgh, say, for Russell Wilson. They're ready to give up three number one picks to get Russell Wilson. Okay? I could take two number one picks and one this year and then one 2 years after that for Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
To see a way, you know what, I'm not killing you,
right?
But keep this guy. I'm going to bury this guy as deep in the basement as I can. This is a team, they're not even close to anybody in their division right now.
Seattle or the Giants you're talking about?
The Giants.
No, right now, no. I would tell you right now, I agree, that the Giants, after what I saw Sunday, was a putrid performance by a team who almost, you know. Now, again, I think the one thing that you may be right on, Jeff, and may come to fruition, excuse me, that's Hard Rock and Sports. Jeff and Tom here talking a couple more minutes on the Giants quickly and the Jets. We're going to do the dead roll shortly thereafter, and then we'll finish up with some John Madden, some year-end topics. And again, we're glad you guys stuck with us for the year as we close off 2021 and we ring in 2022 here, right here at the Hard Rock and Sports Show. We're here every Thursday night. But what was I going to get to? I'm sorry. Now I fucking drew a blank. I think the one thing that could be in Joe Judge's detriment right now is, I know you're probably not going to remember, but in the late 70s, the Giants, you know, they were flying planes. The fans were flying planes over, you know, 16 years of horrendous football, and they were burning their season tickets in the parking lot. And right now, it's not far from that. The fans, I am of the minority. Most Giant fans want, you know, if you can put the whole team on a bus and put it on a road, on an icy road at the with the ocean at the end, they send Joe Judge, Daniel Jones, and everybody packing. So I think the one thing working against them right now is the fact that Giant fans are completely fed up with the Giants, and they want everybody. They want a new general manager, new coach, and probably a new quarterback, unless the GM comes in and could sell you why he wants to keep them. So that might be the one reason those guys do go.
I think they should go.
I disagree.
I really think they should go. I think that they'd be better off going and better off with not even a new beginning for themselves, new beginning for the team.
But here's the thing: who's the next coach? Who are you going to bring in that you know is? What I'm saying is, how do we know the next guy's not going to be just as bad or worse than Joe Judge?
How do you know the next guy is not going to be?
I don't. But I don't think Joe Judge is a bad coach. I just don't think he's been given the proper players to do that. That's my opinion.
See how you said you shut it off?
Yeah.
So when you get a couple thousand fans every week, that is only 2 weeks left in the season. So
right.
It's not going to, and it's December, so it's not going to hurt that much.
No.
But if they don't do much, and it looks like they're going to get blown out early on in the season, and people stop coming to the games, then you'll see how fast they don't care who they get rid of and who goes. Because then they're going to be like, these motherfuckers need to go.
Again, Jeff, if you listen to the fans, I'll tell you flat out, you know, Joe Judge will be gone tomorrow. Most Giant fans do not want him back. Again, I listen to talk radio on my way in, on my way home, when I drive around for work. I have the fan on all day. And this week, the last 2 weeks, the Giant fans have been all over Joe Judge. So, you know, if John Mara is listening, or the next GM, whoever he may be, is listening and they care what other people think. Now, again, you know, people have to evaluate him. And again, how are you? The question I get, I'm going to give all the time, is how are you evaluating him based on what? On an offensive line that's seven deep at this point, based on injuries and COVID, on a receiving core that barely played together. To me, the biggest indictment of this team right now is Gettleman. I stuck by him, and he did not bring me players who are tough, hard-nosed players. Do I think Joe Judge is the answer? I'm not sure, but you know, it remains to be seen. It's going to be an interesting offseason. 2 weeks left of the season, Jeff. We'll certainly see where it goes for the Giants. But I get your point. I still think there's a good chance that Kevin Abrams is going to wind up being the guy, and that would be the smartest thing if you decide you want to keep Joe Judge. But I think you're going to have a revolt from Giant fans.
Of course you're going to have a revolt from Giant fans. They're going to be going fucking ballistic very soon.
Oh, absolutely. That would be, I'll tell you flat out, most Giant fans. Now, you know, I will say this. If you're Kevin Abrams and you do get the job, I mean, he's been a Giant for 20 years. He's been, you know, assistant GM, I think, the last 10. You know, if you walk in the door, you better have a press conference that wows people and assures them that you know what you're doing and why you're making these moves. Again, you know, unless you're bringing in Bill Belichick or Scott Pioli, or a guy of those ilks, you know, who are known commodities, you know, those guys are going to get listened to because of what their names are. A lot of the people that the Giants are going to bring in now, nobody's ever heard of them. They're not GMs that ever have been GMs before. And you're going to have to hope that they know what they're doing. Otherwise, it could be John Itzik all over again.
You know, I don't think you're going to get that.
I don't know.
Not after what happened with this fucking guy.
Again, Dave Gettleman has been a GM before. He built a team that went to the Super Bowl. Okay? He drafted a team, put it together, went to a Super Bowl. He lost, but he went to the Super Bowl. Then he came here, and it looked like he'd never been a GM before. You know, there are guys out there who...
Well, you know what? Maybe the first year, you'd be like, okay, the first year, he's moving some pieces around.
Yeah.
You got to give him the benefit of the doubt. They were a bad team before he got here.
Right.
So first year, he ended up 4-12, whatever.
Right.
Okay. The second year, all right, maybe somebody should have turned around and said, listen, we're going to need some improvement. I understand it's going to be slow going. We're going to need to see 6-10, 7-9 from you. Okay. You're spending a lot of money. You have a plan. It sounds like it's going to work, but we need to see it sound like 6-7 wins. Okay, then when he finished another fucking disappointing season. So now you got to think, like, listen, next year either this is the big jump or you're out. He should have been gone after last year. He should have been back.
I won't disagree with that. I'm not going to disagree that, you know, after last year when there was the thing that saved him and gave everybody hope was that the last eight games of the season, they came together in a very ugly, a weird season, no training camp. They went 5-3. They played great football at the end of the year. And I think everybody thought, okay, this is the team that's close. We get a couple of pieces. We got Kenny Galladay. We draft okay. And next thing you know, we're going to be a good football team. And I don't think anybody expected to see what would happen this year. Before the end of the first game of the season, we were down three starting offensive linemen. Galladay's missing games. Tony didn't play till the middle of the season, basically. Shepard's been out most of the year. You know, Barkley gets hurt early, has not been the same at all this year. You know, nobody could have picked on all that. It's hard to rip Gettleman apart for it, but it's your players. And if they don't perform, you're the guys that pay the price.
Yes, but what did Gettleman say? Gettleman said that he's going to start with the offensive
line. Absolutely.
And go down from there.
Yeah.
And he didn't. He didn't.
I agree.
When your left tackle,
mm-hmm.
okay, when your starting left tackle takes off COVID concerns, all right, just like half the league, so I can't blame him for that, Nate Solder.
Yep.
Then he's off for a year, okay, and then you bring him back.
Well, you have a choice. He's out of contract, Jeff.
I understand that, but yeah. I would have turned around. I would have gone after another starter somehow, some way, either through the draft, through free agency, somehow.
Well, he did. He had the kid Pert, who he drafted last year, was supposed to play right tackle this year. This year, Solder was supposed to be a swing tackle, play a little both sides if somebody gets hurt. Problem was Matt Pert, who he drafted last year, second round, didn't play well enough, and Solder had to start. Now, luckily, Andrew Thomas had a really good year, played great football other than he twisted an ankle at some point, but he played really well. The problem was Pert took a step backwards. Gates, who played really well last year at center, got hurt in game one, and Shane Lemieux got hurt in the preseason. So three of their four offensive linemen, and Hernandez has been okay at guard, played all year. So five guys, two of them are out before the first game of the season's even over. One guy didn't play as well as he's supposed to play, that was sold to play, and only one guy played the whole season. So how much do I blame Gettleman for that? I have to, because it's his offensive line.
Listen, Gettleman should have put in better pieces leading up to this time. That's one thing.
Maybe, yeah, right.
Second of all, everybody is always looking for a fucking tackle, especially the left tackle.
Sure, absolutely.
You could have turned around and at least dangled Solder and see what you could have gotten.
It's possible. Okay? Yeah.
It doesn't hurt.
No.
Because the guy didn't. The guy didn't go to a Pro Bowl. Guy didn't all of a sudden become an All-Pro in one year.
No, agreed.
Okay? And once again, we've discussed this in the past. He was let go by the Patriots and Bill Belichick. Once Bill Belichick deems that you're expendable, come on, man.
I agree with you on that. But here's the problem.
Just to show you, okay, this is another thing, too. We said about Bill Belichick, and when the New York Jets let go of a player,
mm-hmm.
a team as bad as the New York Jets, willing to let go or trade a player, dude, buyer beware, stay away from that fucking player, please.
Which player are you talking about?
Well, there's been a couple. They ended up going after Snacks Harrison in the past.
Oh, Snacks played well.
They got Leonard Williams.
Played really well.
They had a couple other players that went to both teams. I would never take a player from the Jets.
I'll agree and I'll disagree. I'll just say that, you know, Snacks Harrison was a good player. Snacks Harrison not on this team because Snacks Harrison turned into a locker room lawyer, and that's why he had to go.
Okay, well, whatever the case is, but he ended up going and having a good time in fucking Detroit.
Absolutely.
Okay, so he was with the Giants for a short time, what, a year or two, if that?
I'm not sure, but they were close.
3 years or so.
Yeah, maybe less than 3 years. Now. Probably 3 years or less.
And then he ended up going to Detroit and still was playing good.
Just a cap casualty. But it was a thing. They had Dexter Lawrence, Dalvin Tomlinson, B.J. Hill, and Leonard Williams. Snacks Harrison became expendable. But Leonard Williams, again, overpaid probably, but Leonard Williams has been a really good football player. He has not been a bust for the New York Giants. He has played exceptionally well football. I watch every play, and I'll be the first to tell you.
When you have a team mm-hmm. like the New York Giants, okay, and you got a player like Leonard Williams, You're gonna be expecting more out of Leonard Williams. You need him to do more. You need him to perform more. You need him to play a lot more like Aaron Donald than New York than Leonard Williams or the New York Jets.
Again, but he's been a better Giant than a Jet.
What?
He's been a better Giant than Jet.
I don't know how you say that.
By far.
He had 1 year with 11.5 sacks?
No, but because I watched him play both teams and I've seen him be a better player.
You said about him.
Mm-hmm.
is what they used to say about him when he was on the Jets.
All right, so let's say he's been as good. I'll just say he hasn't been a bust.
I'm telling you, as a Jet fan,
yeah.
that there's nobody sitting here now saying that, man, we should have kept him. We should have kept him another year.
I'm not disagreeing with that. Now, listen, I don't disagree with that, but I don't think he's been a bust, and I don't think that it's been a bad signing by the Giants. Listen, I didn't like the trade. I'll be the first one to say I didn't like what they gave up to get him, but he played exceptionally well last year, so I made it worth it to a certain extent. And I think he's, you know, a few million dollars overpaid, but at the end of the day, he's a solid football, better than a solid football player. So, you know, I'll live with it. What's up, Lupica?
Lupica, you peckerhead.
Now the Giants this weekend to play the Bears.
I knew they were going to win and screw up their draft position. Guarantee you, they're going to be picking about 14th when they're done.
So you don't have to worry about it. Don't have to worry about this week. They're going to get annihilated by the Bucks this week. So
listen, dude, you watch. See what he said? He put the fucking curse on him now.
Hey, let's ask Louis. Louis, what's your thoughts on Leonard Williams? He's overpaid, and most players are. I think he's been a really good player for the Giants. What do you think of Leonard Williams? His 2 years with the Giants. Curious what Louis has to say, because he's a lot more forthcoming, forthright about stuff like that than I am.
You just have this thing about once somebody puts on the fucking jersey, that's it.
No, it's not true.
People like go to battle and die for them.
No, but I watch every play of every game, and I will.
Eli Manning, if I wish I was sitting right across that table from you now, so I could laugh at you. If Eli Manning was still in the NFL, you would still say he should be a fucking New York Giant.
All I said was, tell me who you're going to put in his place. I don't. Have you seen Mike Glennon? Have you seen Jacob Fromm?
Listen, Mike Glennon had every chance to start. What was it, either with
the Bears?
Tampa Bay or the Bears. We'll see how that worked.
Yeah, okay. I agree.
There's reasons for that.
I agree. But I'm saying all I said to you all those times were, let's see, solid football does his job, dirty work. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Matt. Matthew popped in, isn't it, guy?
Well, first of all, all right, nobody asked Matt. That's one thing.
I asked Matt.
Louis. You asked Louis. You said Louis.
Louis's not answering me, so I have to think Matt.
Said what he had to say.
Thank you, Matt. Matt.
His comment don't even count. Strike it from the record.
No, it's right there. Jeff and Tom, Hard Rockin' Sports. We're going to do the dead roll in a minute. I fill your cup up, and then I'll get the dead roll stuff ready. Guys, make sure you come on Sunday morning when John and myself, maybe Jeff, pop up on the Sunday Audible. But again, listen, I'm going to finish up on the Giants. I am done with it. They're putrid. I want to see what GM they bring in. I want to see the offensive coordinator. I don't know where we go. I agree he's overpaid, but he's a solid player. I'm impressed that he's playing with an injury, that he's hurt. Thank you, Louis. I agree with you. Again, I don't think he's Aaron Donald, but he's certainly not a bust. Is he overpaid? Yeah, but that's the position, and that's what you're paying guys, and that's where it is. But I certainly think he's been a really good football player and a hell of a two-way player. I think he's a hell of a two-way football player. So, I am fed up with it. What I do get fed up with is when I watch the players and they're constantly out of position, constantly not where they're supposed to be. You know, guys get beat, and also they look at each other and they're pointing at it, and I'm like, it's game 14, it's game 15. How are you guys not in the right place? How are we? You know, this isn't all new players. I'm watching Logan Ryan every week. He's constantly out of position. You know, when Julian Love is the best player out there, that's the scary part. But we'll see. Like I said, I'll watch the game this week. They're playing the Bears. I gotta hope they win so that the Bears have another. Either way, I come out ahead because one of these teams lose and the draft position gets better. So we'll see how it works out. It's gonna be some good football. The Jets, real quick, you're going into the offseason. I don't know enough about the Jets based on what I've seen this year to say that they have their guys. I think it's a big detriment and a big knock on Joe Douglas. Mekhi Becton has not gotten back on the field this year. Basically, he's too fat to play football. That's the bottom line. Joe Douglas has to have a big offseason and a better year next year. Otherwise, he'll be looking for a new job.
I told you from the day they were doing the draft that kid was fucking way too big to be an offensive lineman. 367 pounds, I think it was, he weighed, or 373 pounds.
Well,
it was an incredible amount of weight. And I was like, there's no way under the sun that you want this guy as a starter. There's no way.
Yeah. Well, again, he's got a bad knee, and he's too heavy to run around on it. So, but listen, again, do we get to hear the same thing? You
don't even hear them talk about him.
If they're going to be bad next year, and then what? Bring a new GM, and then you have the same coach. Tended to go on fourth down. Yeah, I mean, that to me, Louis, I get that's the part, the stuff that Joe Judge does that I question. You know, I still go back to the replay. He wanted to challenge a touchdown replay that's already been reviewed. There's a few things that I'm on. I can move back to right tackle. They also need a pass rush. Yeah, now listen, I can run Matt. I can throw a dart at a roster of the Jets and Giants, and Giants need an impact linebacker. They need a pass rush. They need somebody coming off the edge. Offensive lineman, a tight end that stays healthy. I can run them down a list of things. The Jets, forget it. Corners, linebackers. We can write, yes, offensive line.
I don't think you could put the Jets and Giants together and field a perfect team.
Yeah, but again, it's going to be interesting offseason for both teams. But this is obviously, listen, it's a big offseason for both teams. I mean, you got to get it right. But I'm telling you, if the Giants bring in a GM and he says that he wants to keep Joe Judge, then they have to be married together for 2 or 3 years. If you're going to bring in a new GM and at the end of the year, you know, you turn, and next year's going to be a dumpster fire. I don't care who you bring in. Next year is a dumpster fire for the Giants with no salary cap. If you're going, yeah, I agree, old Shalari has been a good pick and he's going to get better. But if you bring in a GM and he keeps Judge, Judge has got to stay as long as he stays. You can't bring in a GM and then fire Judge at the end of the season. It can't happen. It's going to be a dumpster fire. You know it now. It's no doubt in my mind. So that's my stance on the Giants.
Next year, somebody's going to have to be the scapegoat for next year.
Well, that's the point to me is if you're going to keep Judge, he's your guy. Go out there and rebuild it together. If you don't think he's the guy long term, then make the change now and let's start from scratch and do it the right and then do it that way. But either way, that's
how many times have you seen a coach come in, a general manager come in,
mm-hmm.
take the coach from the last administration and make it work?
Well, let's see. It worked with the Giants not too long ago when Ernie Corsi got let go. They kept Tom Coughlin and they went on and won 2 Super Bowls.
Tom Coughlin is Tom Coughlin.
Again, but Tom Coughlin at that point wasn't Tom Coughlin yet. So I'm just saying is
he was in the league for how many years?
I got you, but you asked me for an example. I gave it to you. I gave you one off the top of my head.
It's a solid example.
It's a very solid example.
When was the last time that a general manager came in, inherited a coach, and that coach went on to go fucking win Super Bowls?
Well, I'd have to go look it up. I don't know. I don't know about Kellen Moore yet. Again, I don't know who I want, Matt. At this point, if they brought in Kellen Moore, I'll say this. He seems to be a good young mind. Obviously, their offense has played really well. He's done a good job with Dak Prescott. So it'd be hard to say he wouldn't do a good job. So I'm just saying at this point, if you're bringing in a new GM and he decides to keep Judge, it can't be I'm keeping Judge and at the end of the year you fire him. Either Judge is your guy or he's not. If he's not your long-term 3-year guy, then get rid of him now. That's all I'm going to say. If you keep him, great. I'm all for it. If you get rid of him, I'm all for it. Go for it. But, you know, don't keep him for 1 year and then start all over because now we're starting from scratch again. So let's move on. I got some other football news. Let's do the dead roll, Jeff. I'll play your music.
All right, this is going to take a few minutes.
All right, I might have to reboot it a couple times. We'll see, we'll go through the teams that won this year. We'll go through some of the bigger news for the year, and then I want to end it up with the John Madden stuff. Whenever you're ready, Jeff. You ready?
Yeah, let's get a few bars of this going, and then we'll start.
Okay. Give it a second. I got no control over this, so it just plays what it wants. It really does.
It's real, isn't it? All right, well, the people that started 2021 with us, and I'm no longer here.
Yeah, it's all yours.
We got Jerry Monson from Jerry and the Pacemakers, Tanya Roberts from Charlie Angels fan, Siegfried Fischenbacher from Siegfried and Roy, Phil Spector, Larry King, Cloris Leachman. Do you have any idea how old Cloris Leachman was when she died?
93?
Yeah, she was like 93 or 95 years old.
Yeah.
Cicely Tyson, Hilton Valentine from The Animals, Dustin Diamond, Screech, from Saved by the Bell. Jim Weatherly. Any idea Jim Weatherly, who he may be?
No idea who Jim Weatherly was.
And he ended up missing his train for 2022. Mary Wilson from The Supremes. Chick Corea. Larry Flint from Hustler. I'm sure you spent some quality time with Hustler magazine in your younger days.
Never messed. Never watched. Never looked at it, Jeff. Never looked at it.
Really? You lied. Arturo D. He made the boat statue in the lower part of Manhattan. Then we got Paolo Rolenda, the last surviving Rolenda from one of the originals. One of the original Rolendas. Lou Otten. Any idea Lou Otten?
I have no idea who Lou Otten is.
He is the inventor of the cassette.
Interesting.
Yes, Roger Mudd of DMX. Bob Wallace, CBS News, Deep Disney, Lloyd Price, you know, Tiger Lee, and many others. Speaking of singers, B.J. Thomas.
I love B.J. Thomas. B.J., oh, yeah.
Well, he will not be putting out a greatest hits album anytime soon.
No, very sorry to hear that.
Clarence Williams III.
Ah, Mod Squad Clarence Williams III.
Yeah, there you go. Ned Beatty. And the Longboat has sailed for the final time, but Captain Steuben is inland. Gavin McLeod, no longer.
Ah.
Frank Bonner, WKRP in Cincinnati, if you remember.
I
him.
Do, sure.
Biz Markie, Joey Jordison from Slipknot.
Wow.
Dusty Hill from ZZ Top and Miss Marky Post,
who
was in the early 70s, but a hot one at that.
Oh, yeah.
Dennis D.T. Thomas from Fool in the Gang. Mackie Kajai, the inventor of Sudoku.
I played a few times. It's actually a very cool game, but I don't have time to play it as much as I did for a while.
Walter Yetnikoff, the president of CBS Records, was president when Michael Jackson and Billy Joel were churning out hits for CBS. Then we got Don Everly, Charlie Watts, Ed Asner. I thought he was one of these guys that died like 25 years ago, but he won't be popping up no more.
No.
Norm MacDonald, Ronnie Tutt. You may know who that is.
I don't know who Ronnie Tutt is.
He is Elvis Presley's brother.
Wow, okay.
And now here comes another singer in the mold of B.J. Thomas, and that was Jay Black from B. Black.
Yes.
Okay. We have Graham Edge, drummer from the Moody Blues, like the Mercy from the Monkees. Marcus Azulu.
Wow, glad you mentioned that one. Yes. Good.
Alexi Laiho. He was a guitar player for Sodom, I think it was. Children of Sodom, I believe it was. Tim Bogart from Bogart, Beck and the Peace. Sylvain from the New York Dolls, and Alan Cartwright from Purple Hound. LG Petra from Entombed. Jim Steinman. He wrote the Bat Out of Hell album with Meatloaf. John Minch, early Judas Priest drummer, and Tony Katane. I never had Tony Katane throw herself across the hood of my Buick when I was younger.
No.
No.
I did see John Lisa across the hood of your Buick once or twice.
Anyway, Johnny Solinger from Skid Row, John Lawton from Uriah Heep, and Jeff LaBarre from Cinderella. They're still not done with the music world. We got a few more.
Wow.
Bobby Steinhardt from Kansas. He was the violin player. Mike Howe from Metal Church. Eric Wagner from Trouble, and Ron Bushy from Iron Butterfly. Malcolm Doane, a writer for Kerrang and Metal Hammer. Rich Cole, Led Zeppelin tour manager. Phil Narrow from Talus. And Mike Mitchell from The Kingsmen, their best known for their hit, Louie Louie.
Wow.
A couple more pages.
Wow.
Yeah. Al Unser.
Race car driver, Alonso, sure.
Race car driver, Tommy Lasorda, longtime Dodgers manager. Elgin Taylor, basketball player. John Chaney, Temple basketball coach, set a record for 741 wins in college basketball. Rod Gilbert.
Sam Huff.
Curly Culp. Marty Schottenheimer. Demarius Thomas, Vincent Jackson, Darius Johnson. Mike Davis, Leon Spinks has failed to answer the bell for 2021.
Nice, Jeff.
Marvin Hagler was a TKO at the hands of 2021. And Paul Westfall. Okay, now on to the wrestling world, because you know wrestlers still never fucking...
We lose too many, Jeff. We lose too many.
Here we go. Bobby Eaton. Butch Reed, some chick named Cassidy. I don't know who she was, but other people too. Jody the Assassin Hamilton, the assassin from like the late 60s, early 70s, Jim Crockett Jr. He was like a promoter.
Yes.
New Jack, Paul Orndorff, Ryan Sakota, The Patriots, no name given other than The Patriot, Corporal Kirshner.
Ah, yes.
Melissa Coates and Barry Orton, one of Mr. and Mrs. Orton.
Yes.
Okay. Les McKeon from the Bay City Rollers. And to finish up the list, unless you want to check the news real, real quick, just to add it, anybody, that would be the late, great one who's forever left a mark in the sports world, the gaming world, and entertainment in general. And that is our 2021 list of people that ain't making it for next year.
Wow, Jeff, you did an outstanding job, as you do every year with the dead roll. It's a tough one. You threw a little bit of stuff in there to lighten the mood a little bit, so to speak. I think I'd like to play a little John Madden right now, if you don't mind, if you can bear with me. I'd like to do another John Madden look in here. Hold on a second. Let's see if I can make this happen. See if I have the technologies to do that. Hold on a second, Jeff. Let's bring this back. Let's share this. Stop the screen. Share it. Share screen. Okay, and let's play it.
When you start something good, everyone wants a piece of it. Take light beer from Miller. Now there's lots of light beers out there saying they're less filling. Heck, that was the easy part. The hard part is brewing a light beer that tastes great. That's why light's always brewed only with the finest ingredients. To let all that great beer taste come through for guys like you and me. The taste that's made light beer from Miller America's favorite light beer. Hey, I always thought it was easy opening cans.
That's a little something from the John Madden collection. Elsie Greenwood.
Elsie Greenwood, that was?
That was Elsie Greenwood.
Okay.
So I played a few before the show. I don't know if you got to see one. John Madden on Saturday Night Live with Eddie Murphy and Joe Piscopo. That was pretty funny. Hold on. I'm sorry. It's rebooting itself. There you go. Okay. Let's get out to John Madden a little bit, Jeff, while we... you so eloquently and a beautiful segue by yourself into the John Madden world. John Madden passed. I don't know if who out there got to watch the documentary. Oh, Madden, it's playing constantly all over NFL Network. And it was a great piece, an hour and a half of really fun stuff. And like I told Jeff on Sunday's show, I thought it was an obituary, the guy was alive, a way of people, saying nice things about him and showing his life and his kids and the whole bit. And then, sure enough, he passes away a couple days later. So, not to pat myself on the back, but I did kind of look into the crystal ball and say this could be an obituary. And what a great job! And again, Jeff, I still think that the NFL should find some way to memorialize John Madden. I think he's had an even bigger impact on the game the last 30 years than Vince Lombardi did. Lombardi was a great coach, maybe the greatest of all time. Meant a ton to the game. Would never take his name off of the trophy. But there's got to be a way to get a guy like Madden, who was a great coach. And the forget about the game. The broadcast world for 30 years turned football into an event, just making sure you saw Madden somewhere all every week.
Well, even if they don't come up with a trophy for him,
yeah,
or whatever, you would like to think that maybe a broadcaster or recognize a broadcaster with an award like that.
Maybe that's it. Yeah.
He definitely should be recognized. The longevity.
Yep.
The time, the knowledge.
Oh.
You're not going to find that. And, I mean, who brings up the rear? We always talk about that with bands.
Yeah.
Who brings up the rear there?
Yeah.
Chris Collinsworth?
No. No, Jeff, it was the personality, but like we talked about earlier in the show, Madden, the thing with Madden was he wasn't trying to make you see something you weren't. When I watch guys like Romo and Collinsworth, they're trying to tell you how much smarter they are than you are, and they don't make you understand what you're seeing. They are trying to fit you into a narrative that they think they want. And that's the difference. Madden just said, here's the game. This, the reason why this play worked or didn't work was because of this, and this is why it doesn't work. And it was, again, it was new. The telestrator, the buckets, the, you know, all of that was fun. and it was just, that's who John Madden was. And it was just an amazing thing to watch. And you're right, Jeff. Who's the next guy? And there isn't that person. They tried it with guys like Matt Millen. They tried it with different guys who have that kind of personality. They're not John Madden. And, you know, it was special. I mean, a guy traveled around the country in a tour bus. You know, it was just different.
He definitely was different.
Yeah.
On a lot of different levels.
Yep.
And, I mean, you know, the guy definitely made his mark in the NFL. And a lot of people, I mean, our generation grew up with him.
Yeah.
Announcing football games. We can remember him forever for a lot of different reasons. I remember when the Oakland Raiders won the Super Bowl. I remember when he was announcing. I remember when, you know, the game came out and everything else. Although I will say he was not my favorite announcer.
Really?
Yeah. He was not my favorite announcer.
Who was your favorite announcer?
I used to like Merlin Olsen.
Very good.
I can't remember his name.
What'd you say?
The other guy that was with Merlin Olsen.
I want to say it was Vern Lundquist, but I'm not sure about that. I have to look that up.
Bob something. Wasn't it Bob?
I don't think so.
No.
So let's look up Merlin Olsen. Oh, that didn't go right.
It was on Channel 4, that I remember.
Yes, Merlin Olsen.
As soon as you say the name, I'm going to be like, how do I
do it? Let's see. Da-da-dee-dee-dee, not Rosie Greer, da-da-da. Merlin Olsen broadcast partner. Let's try that. Broadcast partner.
I got it.
Let's see.
Nope.
Oh, listen, okay, here we go. Let's see. Merlin Olsen. We're getting close. Why is it? Lindsey Nelson. Nope. 66. It was in the 1970s, right?
70s and 80s, yeah.
Okay, I'm looking now.
Trying to look it up also.
Yeah, I'm curious, top of my head. 75. I'm trying to think. It's got to be late. It's got to be 80s, I'm going to guess. Dick Enberg and Merlin Olsen. Yes.
Dick Enberg.
Merlin Olsen. Yeah, they started together 1977, weeks 6 and 14. And then they seem to continue after that. But, God, sorry, God.
No, those two were my favorite, Dick Enberg and Merlin Olsen.
Again, nothing wrong with Merlin Olsen. I was a big fan of him myself, so I'm with you. They were the number one team in 1980. So, again, same thing in 81, 82 for their network. So, again, good call. A good broadcast, but nobody was Madden. It just Madden was Madden, and he was different. And he brought an excitement to the game. And it didn't matter who was, you know, you wanted to know where. You know, I wish that. It almost happened now because you have the ability to watch any game you want every week. And, you know, unless Madden was doing your game and I was lucky enough in the 80s, the Giants were a good football team, and he seemed to do a lot of Giant games. But I think that was actually their first game was the Giants, and his last game was the Super Bowl with the Rams and the Patriots. I believe was his – no, that was his last – no, that was – that was Summerall's last game. Madden's last game was a Super Bowl. It was Steelers and the Cardinals was his last game, 2009. I watched
really?
It.
I can't believe he's gone that long that he's stopped announcing that long.
Yeah. Well, think about it. You know, he's 85 now. That's 13 years ago. So he was in his 70s. Yeah, I watched it. They replayed the game last night, and I watched Madden's last game, and he was good. And, you know, didn't seem to have the energy that obviously he did, but still a great announcer. And listen, you know, great coach, you know, probably an even better announcer. And then again, you know, 2005, EA Sports gave him $150 million for the rights to his name for the rest of their time. So he, in perpetuity, as they call it. So even though he's gone, they own the rights to John, to have his name on their video game. And when I hang up, when I'm done with you tonight, I'm going to go play a little John Madden football tonight in his
honor.
What
year do you have, do you know?
Well, I just checked. I have obviously the newest one, which is 21. But I got a couple older versions. I want to try to play the franchise one where I can kind of build my team. And
good luck with that.
Yeah.
It's a pain in the ass.
I know. Did you? Yeah, I haven't tried that in a long time, so I'm going to check that out tonight. But I will play a little Madden football tonight, start a little season, and looking forward to that. I got a bunch of cool games. And but, again, to finish up the Madden stuff, listen, nothing better than watching Madden Summerall. And it was a great way for you to end the dead roll with John last and talk a little bit about Madden and, you know, the old-time football and the things he represented and the fun parts of the game that John Madden was. So thanks to you, Jeff, for that. Hey, did you notice that, real quick, Kurt Warner's got a movie, a real-life movie about Kurt Warner in the movie theaters right now?
Quarterback?
Yes.
I don't pay much attention to the movies, but especially what's in the movies.
Yeah, I don't normally either. I walk around Brooklyn. There's an old movie theater, and they have a poster of it for the last couple months that it was coming out. I think it came out on Christmas. And I said to myself, you know what? It's a good story. Don't get me wrong. He's overrated. I don't care what anybody tells me. He's not a Hall of Fame quarterback, even though he's in the Hall of Fame. You know, along with Terrell Davis, two of the most overrated football players to be in the Hall of Fame in the last 20 years. I don't know if you have a thought on it, but you know, let me give you his years in the league, and you tell me how many of these years are Hall of Fame worthy. How's that? I want to keep it simple. You know, yards, touchdowns, interceptions, right? Because I can give you a million other things. Let me give you yards, touchdowns, interceptions. If you want to do wins and losses, I'll go backwards after that. Ready? Okay. So played from 98 to 2009, so about 11 years. So not the longest career in the whole. I think it's actually 12. So year one, throw it out the window. He had he played one game, so we'll throw that one out.
This was with the Rams.
This would have been St. Louis, yes, the Rams. So, so he played 16 games, 4,300 yards, 41 TDs, and 13 interceptions. Hall of Fame year?
Well, no, but it's a good start if that's his second year.
Well, 41 TDs, a lot of TDs. I would give him I would say it's a Hall of Fame career, a Hall of Fame year. Let's call it Hall of Fame year.
When you said career, is
yes, different.
Hall of Fame year. All right, I can go with that.
All right, I just want to say he's played. He had 12 years of his 12. How many of them were Hall of Fame worthy? So let's okay. So 1999, we're going to call it Hall of Fame year, right? Easy. The next year, he played 12 games, 3,400 yards, 21 touchdowns, 18 interceptions. Hall of Fame year?
Not really.
Okay, no. I agree with you. Okay, year three, still with St. Louis, 30 years old.
He's year four at this point in time, right?
He's in year four. You're right, 100%. Okay, 4,800 yards, 36 touchdowns, 22 interceptions.
A lot of interceptions, but a lot of yards and touchdown passes. I'd say a Hall of Fame year.
Okay, that's 2 of 4. Not too bad so far. Okay, Jeff, year three, seven games only. Okay, 1,400 yards, 3 TDs, 11 interceptions.
Definitely not.
Okay, so we'll take that one off the board. Year six. He played two games, 365 yards, 1 TD, 1 interception.
No.
Okay, so he still only got 2 out of the first. Now he's moving over to the New York Giants at age 33. Okay, he played 9 games, 2,000 yards, 6 TDs, 4 interceptions.
No.
All right, so we're moving on again. So far only two Hall of Fame years.
But now, did he win anything with the Rams?
He won one Super Bowl title, and then he went to two Super Bowls in that time.
So he's been in. So far, he's 1-1 in the Super Bowl.
So. Correct. So far. All right. So now let's go on to the next thing. Okay. So now he leaves the Giants. He goes to Arizona. He plays 10 games, only 10 games. He's got 2,700 yards, 11 TDs, 9 interceptions. Okay. The next year in Arizona, he plays 6 games, 1,300 yards, 6 TDs, 5 interceptions.
No.
Okay, let's go. He's moving on again. Now he plays 14 games, Jeff, 3,400 yards, 27 TDs, 17 interceptions. That all for the Cardinals?
Not really. Borderline. I guess if you got to push him that way, you could find a reason to push him that way. But it's kind of borderline.
Yeah, and his team went 5-6, by the way, in his 11 games, just for the record. So, okay, so now age 37, team goes 9-7. He's got 4,500 yards, 30 TDs, 14 interceptions.
No, it doesn't sound very...
Again, the team is 9-7. So his last year in the league, he plays 15 games, 3,700 yards, 26 TDs, 14 interceptions.
He threw a lot of interceptions. What's his career numbers?
32,000 yards, 208 TDs, 128 interceptions.
Well, I don't know. I can't listen. Joe Namath is in the Hall of Fame.
I'm just saying, Jeff. Out of 12 years, we both are on the same page. He had 2 years where they were Hall of Fame worthy numbers. When I look at the end, he is 120. His record is 67-49. That's it. I think he's a good quarterback. I think it's a nice story, bagging groceries, reading a football league. The guy's not a Hall of Famer. I don't care what anybody tells
him. I got to agree with you, but like I said, when you look at some of the people that are in the Hall of Fame.
But look at his era, though. Think of the guys who played in his era. I agree with you. But when I look at Namath's numbers, I'll compare it to the guys of Namath's era and the guys who got in. So Namath's era would be like, maybe the early Terry Bradshaws and Roger Staubach and some of those guys.
Let me save you some time there, all right?
Then,
when you're talking about Namath, you're talking about a different way the game was played.
Absolutely, 100%. Unless
he was a sub-500 quarterback who threw more interceptions than he did touchdown passes. Okay? Now, Kurt Warner came in like as a, I guess the good way to describe him would be an in-betweener.
Yes.
He was there, I believe, before Brady, but after Bradshaw.
Yes. Oh, yeah, 98. Yeah, 98.
The tail end of
he was tail end of, he's like the Troy Aikman era, the end of the Dan Marino era, John Elway era, and the start of, like, Peyton Manning.
A little into their careers. But bottom line is he kind of, like, bridged the gap.
I would agree.
Between a couple different things and a couple different eras of quarterbacks, and he never would have excelled in anybody's era, I feel.
Okay.
I do remember him playing. I remember him playing very well. I remember him playing vividly. I thought his numbers were better when he was playing.
Right.
And it wasn't until now that you read the numbers that we just realized just where he stood. I got to agree. I don't think that – I mean, he did go to 2 Super Bowls, unless he went to a third.
Three. He went to 3, yes. He went to the third. He went to 1 with the Arizona. He only won 1. Yeah, he went 1-3. He lost to Pittsburgh. Last year in the league, he went to the Super Bowl with Arizona, and they lost to Pittsburgh.
Who did he play? Who did he win and beat?
The first Super Bowl was the one he won with where the Titans, guy got stopped on the 1-yard line.
Yes, yes, yes.
They won that one. The next year they went back and they lost to Tom Brady and the Patriots, which would have been Tom Brady's first Super Bowl win.
So if that guy had fucking, something had gone a little different during that drive.
1 yard from 0-3.
Wow.
He was 1 yard from 0-3. Now,
close.
Now listen to his record, Jeff. Okay, so year one, forget the record. He only played 1 game and he only threw the ball 4 of 11. So let's say year two, okay, he's 13-3. Year three, 8-4. Year four, 14-2. God, not too bad. Not too bad. Then he's 0-6, 0-1, 5-4, 2-8, 1-4, 5-6. Then he gets 10-7 and 10-5.
I don't see how he made it.
That's the point, Jeff. You're getting it's the old boys club, and these guys get in, and that's kind of the problem with what I want. So I don't begrudge the guy. If you can pull the wool over people's eyes and get in the Hall of Fame, all lot of good shit. Do what you got
to
do.
What's the sense of having criteria to get in, Tom?
Huh?
What's the sense of having criteria to get in?
The guys that
aren't going to make it in, that maybe should be there.
I think the half man's out there. Do you want the half man?
What is he doing?
He's online. He's on the phone, I believe.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm checking to make sure that that's who it is. I see a phone number and it looks like his.
Short numbers.
Yep. Let's bring him on. He's a good friend, my cousin-in-law there, Mr. Dominic Jitta. What's up, Dom?
Hello, Jeff. Hello, Tom.
What's up, buddy?
How we doing, brothers?
Dom, we're doing well, Dom. How are you, buddy?
Hanging in there. I tried getting in a little earlier. I wanted to talk a little bit about Madden.
Go ahead. Help yourself.
I know you just, youngest Super Bowl head coach to win a Super Bowl at the age of 32. Highest winning percentage as a coach.
Uh-huh. Yes. One of the best,
if not the best, broadcaster ever.
Yep, I agree, 100%. Dom, three careers. Dom, you look at it, three careers: your coach, broadcaster, and the video game will keep him alive forever.
Oh, absolutely! And his boom and his comments will live on forever.
I would certainly agree with that. So, Dom, what when you heard the news, did you watch the documentary, Dom?
I'm actually taping it right now.
I watched it twice for you, Dom, and it was fantastic. It was one of those things where, I told Jeff last week, I keep saying this out loud, but last week we did the Sunday show and Jeff and I together, and I watched the documentary on Saturday night, and I said to Jeff, watching it and watching Madden sitting there, listening to all these people talk about him and watch his life in front of him, it was almost like it was his obituary. And then showed up 3 days later, the man's dead. So interesting. It was an interesting thing, but it was a fantastic watching. And if you haven't watched it yet, you're gonna enjoy. You don't have to be a Raider fan or a Madden fan. It was really it was all the turkey bowls and the turduckins. It was great.
Well, I'm actually watching it right now as we speak. I just put it on pause.
Okay.
So good. I can call in.
You're gonna enjoy it. It was a lot of fun. What's your take on your current Raider team, Dom? Do you have any thoughts that they'll have a chance to, win this week and keep their playoff hopes alive, as fleeting as they are?
Well, they're right there. They got to win this week. If they win out, they're in.
Yes.
We got to beat the Colts and we got to beat the Chargers. If they win both games, we're in the playoffs.
I agree. I like them this week, obviously. I mean, the Colts were talking about reaching out to Philip Rivers to come and play quarterback this week. That's not, you saw that too?
Holy cow,
what were you thinking about? But
Carson Wentz is on the COVID-19 list, so quarterback.
Well, not only is he out this week, but he may be out next week too, because as an unvaccinated player, technically I think he has to miss 10 games, although I think they changed that rule very recently, so.
Yeah, they're changing rules as they go along at this point.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, they changed it to 5 days now.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a fucking amazing.
I agree. It's
If they could win this week at home against the Colts, all they got to do is beat the Chargers.
Again, neither game is unwinnable. I don't hold out hope that they'll win both games. But it's not impossible. It's going to be an interesting finish to the season for them. And if they were to pull off both games, they deserve to be in the playoffs. Then, in a year when nobody deserves it, they deserve it.
Well, all the shit they went through this year, all the controversy.
Oh, but pirates.
and whatnot, you know, losing their head coach, losing their number one receiver,
absolutely.
Losing
yeah.
Waller.
100%, Dom, I agree with you. I think it's been a year of adversity. I think that there's a team, they're a team that, you know, that had some high hopes early. I think with all the adversity they had, the fact that at this point, going into the last 2 weeks of the season, that they're still alive, I think it's a testament to the team. And, I think it's, they're right there. Let's see what happens. A couple good games, and your Steelers get a playoff berth.
Tom, I got a question.
My Steelers?
Well, your team.
Your Raiders. Tom, they said
something.
Yeah,
you said your Steelers.
They were going to start Marcus Mariota in the last couple games to see if he's worth keeping. Is that going to happen?
No, that's not going to happen.
Do you think they're going to end up keeping Mariota over Carr?
I think they're going to keep him right now because they don't know what's going to happen. But Carr has a second in the league in passing yardage, third in the league in passing touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but let me ask you a question.
He's having a solid season.
I don't disagree with that. I think that they're a team that could – you know, that could go a long, long way either way this year with that team. You know, there'll be a new coach next year. I think it's going to be an interesting offseason for that team as well. And you know, listen,
it's definitely going to be a new coach next year.
Right, but you know, if you're the Raiders, it's important. This is an important offseason, and I tell you why. 2024, the Super Bowl's in Las Vegas. You don't tell me that Las Vegas doesn't want to have the first Super Bowl in their building be their own. So this is a big off season for them to put this thing in the right direction.
No, Tampa Bay had it last year.
I didn't say it was the first time ever. I'm saying is you don't think they want the first Super Bowl in Las Vegas to be their own team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I understand. Tampa Bay played at home this year, last year. The Rams may do it this year if they turn it around. So it's possible. I'm just saying the first Super Bowl in Las Vegas, they want to be the Las Vegas Raiders. That's my only point.
I can't believe that they're going to actually...
No, I got you. I understand what you said.
Yeah, finish up.
No, I got what you're saying. Absolutely. But they got to make their moves right now. They got to figure out what the future is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
They need to get a number one wide receiver. Because they don't have one. They got Waller, but he's a tight end. But they got to get a number one wide receiver. And
no,
they got to
see
if they're going to...
I think in tribute to John Madden, we should play the Raider theme. Would you mind if I play the Raider theme while you're on the phone in honor of John Madden, your coach?
I would be honored as long as you play it the right way.
The autumn wind is a butt pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rolling song, he gets swept along, swaggering needlessly. His face is ship-stained. He wears his sister's scarf. The condom is a hat about his head and a cheesy fake black mustache. He cries as he loses about the country, a loser big and bold. And the trees all laugh and laugh as he misses out on the gold. He keeps on losing. Dom Ginter is a butt pirate, losing just for fun. You could pick him up and turn him upside down and laugh as he misses the playoffs again.
I'm sorry. That was the wrong version. Sorry, Jeff. It was the wrong version.
You couldn't stop that. The guy died.
I'm sorry, Jeff. I was trying to play a little tribute. And sorry, Dom. I'll try to find the right one before the show's over.
Yeah. Okay, whatever. I kind of knew you were going to do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, we ask that you rise. Now taking the field for the very first time, your very own Las Vegas Buck Pirates!
I figure that's how they can bring the Raiders out, the first Super Bowl they get there. That'll be the way to do it. So, Don, listen, I wish you luck this week. Happy New Year, my friend. I love the fact that you called in. We miss you. We want you to be on more. And you have a great holiday weekend, and we're out here if you need it. You know that.
Happy New Year, and I hope everything goes well, brothers.
You got it, Dom. I'll talk to you soon, pal.
Later, Tom. Later, Jeff.
Be good, Dom. Stay safe, huh?
Stay safe, Dom.
Take care, boys.
Later.
Jeff, I had to have some fun with that one.
I don't blame you, man. That's what it's all about. He sounds destroyed.
Oh yeah, he's wrecked. I could not keep that alive any longer. I had to let him go. But
I mean, right now, to me, if I had to guess, I'd say that he's probably living in a car someplace. That's how bad he sounds.
I'm surprised he even has the phone number anymore to the show, to be honest with you. But I thought you did a nice job. You're not quite John Facenda, but you're not far off, Jeff. You did a good job with that one. Well, I just said, I was trying to think of things to play, and I went, wait a second, I can find the Dom Jinder's a butt pirate.
Come on, when he comes on, you ain't never got to ask. You got to bring him on and just start hitting him with the best thing ever is to hit him with butt pirate, because the first couple times, I'm not expecting it. So when you hit him with it, like all of a sudden he's like talking, like, what? It happens all the time. Did I hear that? What was that?
Jeff and Tom here. Happy New Year to everybody. Thanks for stopping into the Hard Rocket Sports Show. We're here every Thursday night, and then, of course, on Sundays at 9 a.m. with the Sunday Audible. But, this is the year-end show, and we did the dead roll. Jeff did a great job. We talked about John Madden. We deep-dived the Giants. Kurt Warner's not a Hall of Famer. I don't care what anybody tells me. When you dig down deeper to his stats, he's not a Hall of Famer. The other guy's not a Hall of Famer. That's gone in the last few years. Terrell Davis is not a Hall of Famer. But I bring these up because I know today I think they announced the 15 finalists for the Hall of Fame. I did not see it. Well, I kind of holding it to next week's show. If you have it, do you want? No, guys, you want to? I don't want to go into it, but
wait till next week.
Yeah, I just thought it was a nice thing for next week's show. We'll kind of dig through the.
We had other things to do.
Yeah, so I want to do a couple other things, Jeff, before we end this night. The championship games tomorrow 3:30 is. I'm kind of excited for these games. Alabama and Cincinnati might be a good game. I like Alabama in it. And the night game, Michigan and Georgia, I'm not sure what to make of that one. I'm rooting for Michigan. I'd love to see Michigan and Alabama for the title in a week and a half. So we got that. Lots of stuff over the weekend, football-wise.
All these teams backing out of bowl games and trying to get into other bowl games.
Yeah.
Listen, if you commit to the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
all right, and your team is saying, yes, we'll be there, and now they contact you and they're like, Tom, we want you to go over and play this game.
Yep.
What do you do if you're fucking another school?
Yeah, I mean, Texas A&M dropped out of the bowl game. They actually got Rutgers to go up there and play. And the funny part, Rutgers has a practice in 3 weeks, and then they're going to get together to run and play a bowl game. I think it's interesting. You know, you wonder what the competitive level is going to be, but, I guess it's a chance to make the money. And if you're the players, I'm sure you want to do it. So I'm sure they're doing some long practices, and so get ready.
Some of these guys... You got to think that they're doing this at this time of the year. It gives them some extra fodder, maybe a push in the draft.
Absolutely. Sure. It doesn't hurt. Sure.
You know, or it may make the difference between being drafted and undrafted as a free agent. Who the fuck knows?
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly, Jeff. So I want to do a little bit I want to do a couple minutes on the big on the year itself, Jeff. 2021, we talked about it. You said you weren't a big fan of 2021. Alabama was the national title holders. Tampa won the Super Bowl, giving Tom Brady his seventh win. Interesting for Tom Brady, and a chance to do it, to have it again. Baylor won the NCAA tournament, the Baylor Bears. Stanford Cardinals won the women's college basketball title. The Tampa Bay Lightning won the Stanley Cup. The Milwaukee Bucks won the NBA title. I'm trying to think, what's the name of the NBA title? It's something O'Brien. Is it the Pete O'Brien? Something O'Brien. David? Yeah, the NBA title. They name it after somebody.
I did not know that they named it after somebody.
Yes. The WNBA leader, the winners were the Chicago Sky. Who cares? The Atlanta Braves won the MLB, won the Baseball World Series this year. And the MLS title went to the New York City Football Club. First time a New York team's won anything around in a very long time. So congrats to all the winners. We'll have some new ones next year. Jeff, I would say the big news, the big topic of 2021 has been COVID again. Unfortunately, maybe not to such the degree it was the year before, but with all the rules and mandates and the sports and schools, you know, unfortunately, I think for all of us, it's affected sports a little less, but I think it's still affected the music industry quite a bit.
Yes, big time.
You know, I think the sports world has learned to live without it. I think what's happened is the musicians of the world, I don't think, have come back as the athletes have.
No, well, sports could still go on without a crowd.
True.
Sense, what are you going to do? Went on Madison Square Garden to play a fucking show when there's nobody there?
Correct, but again, sports went on without fans, but somehow this year they packed 80,000 people at the stadiums without major problems, so why couldn't they get 40,000 or 20,000 into an arena?
Listen, I hear you, but...
You know what I mean?
It's a lot of these fans didn't want to play shows in front of people that weren't vaccinated. Wasn't it Eric Clapton was one of the few people that said that he would play shows in front of, there was no vaccine mandates, that he wouldn't play shows that were vaccinated only.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was. So, you know, you had somebody like him saying that. And there was a couple others that, didn't Dave Grohl, I think, that he would only do
vaccinated shows. Yeah. There's a few guys who would only do vaccinated shows. Yeah.
So you got to think that that's a pretty split crowd. And, you know, you putting 40,000 people in any spot,
mm-hmm.
is a lot of people to hope that nothing happens. But you know something? They keep saying, well, Thanksgiving is a super spreader, traveling is a super spreader, and everything else. How many college football games did we watch over the year where they were fucking packed?
Yeah. Oh, 100,000 people,
and
yeah.
All of a sudden, nothing. Nobody died because they went to go watch Michigan play with 100,000 people in their stadium, or Penn State with 100,000 people in their stadium.
Yep.
All right. Now all of a sudden, the Omicron variant and a couple extra people to get sick. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I think people are just going to live with it, but the bottom line is that COVID's still the big news story of the year. We've had a year of our president, the clown, he is himself. I think people have started to see what that is and who he is, and I think you're in for a lot of turmoil the next couple of years, and lots of big changeovers. Who gets in next, and how big a changeover in 2022 with the houses, we'll see. But I think those are two big news stories. I think the Beatles documentary was a pretty big thing this year. I think that's an amazing thing. If you guys haven't watched the Beatles doc, make sure you see it. Afghanistan, the supply chain, Jeff. Goodbye, de Blasio. Thank God. I think those are some of the big news stories of the year. I got to say, I'm not sad to see 21 go. I'm just hoping 22 gets even better.
Can't get much worse, Tom. But, you know, we said the same thing about 2020,
yeah.
2021. Here we go into 2022. But, like I said earlier, the one thing that I never forget, when they were talking 2020,
mm-hmm.
they never said, well, you know, next year will be better, this, that, and the other thing. And then when 2021 came on, they never said, well, no, it's going to get better throughout this year, this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, they never gave the illusion of a light at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
And then just earlier today when I was watching it, and the guy turned around and he was like, yeah, I think that, 2022 is going to be the end of this. And it makes you go like, Did they know something that we don't know? Was this?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you heard today there was a woman, I think it was New York City. I'm almost positive it's New York City. And she must be some sort of health official in New York. And she said that they actually made up the numbers for kids. I don't know if they got it or could get it, or they inflated the numbers so that they would cause a little bit more of an alarm and have parents rush out to get their kids vaccinated. I mean, they actually admitted to the fact. It just was amazing that she actually admitted that they inflated the numbers to force people to get the vaccine. And to me, she should have been immediately arrested, taken into the streets, and beaten with sticks, or forced to drive in a car with Dom Ginta after hearing him just talk now. One of the two should have had to do. Because that's disgusting to me, Jeff. That is just simply about control.
How about this? How about this? At my job, right?
Yep.
Before I went on vacation, which was just a few days ago, a little bit more than a week ago, if you were not vaccinated, you had to put in for the exemption.
Right.
Okay? Once you put in for the exemption, you had to wait and see if you were granted the exemption.
Right.
If you were granted the exemption, you still had to get tested once a week, so that when you came back to work,
right,
you could give your supervisor